And with that, I'd like to ask Danny and Amber to share next, please.
Wow, get us to share after that.
So.
Two hot, powerful sharings, words from God. And wow, what can I say? The Spirit has definitely spoken, and I give God thanks and glory for this wonderful fellowship, for having me connected here, where I'm able to hear those words and to be able to practice. And it's a great joy to know that we are free. Yes, we are free in Christ and free to move, but God has an order and a structure. And if we just follow that, if we just listen and follow and do, we will see great results. Living in this spiritual way will become natural, is natural. Like you shared, Laura, we don't have to try and be anyone else. We just be who God's called us to be. But it does take humility, it does take discipline, and it does take a heart to want to really learn from God, learn what he's directing us, and to move in it. I love what Kim shares. She shares like faith connotes an action. And it's not that we have to do things by works, but we do the things God puts in our heart to do. We block out every other teaching, every other doctrine, and we move in what God is directing us. And if you, as an individual, have gone to God, like me and Danny did 5 years ago, and you've said to God, God, where do you want me to connect? Where do you desire me to be fed the right doctrine, the right teaching, where I'm going to flourish, where I am going to go forth and multiply, where I am going to have great impact? Where is that place, God? Then God will direct you. If you haven't done this, I encourage you to do this, because God will show you. There are many teachings out there. I share this the last couple of weeks because of Instagram, YouTube, and many other things. Like, we think it's loving to be fellowshipping with so many different people. We think it's the right way. Oh, well, it's God's way. Like, Jesus Christ didn't fellowship with everybody. He could have fellowshiped with the Pharisees today, the Sadducees tomorrow. He could have fellowshiped with his disciples the next day. But no, he was focused. He was focused to do the will of the Father. And when he was focused, God led him, and he operated in signs, miracles, and wonders. And we are no different. Like, all of us really need to understand and believe we are no different. We are as he is right now, with great power, great authority, and great ability. And when you know who you are in Christ, then you have great power, because nothing can hold you back. Nothing can pull you down. Nothing can discourage you. Nothing can make you feel on top of the mountain one day and down in the valley the next. We will be consistent, steadfast, desiring and hungering. Now, if you're hungry for physical food, you will go and fill your belly. So when you're hungry for spiritual food, when you call on the name of the Lord, he will feed you. He will give you fresh bread from heaven. And that normally comes from a key person on the earth. And all of us have the Spirit of God. All of us have the ability to speak by the Spirit of God. All of us have the ability to encourage and bring life into people's lives. But for all of us, we have a place where we're to be fed and connected. And when we just hearken there and put our ear there and really hear what's saying and have a hunger for what's being shared and then practically apply it, you will absolutely see results. God's not withholding any good thing from any of us. God doesn't want a few of us to really prosper, be in health, really live this abundant life, operating in signs, miracles, and wonders, practically applying our spiritual ability, and then want the other half to be up and down like roller coasters, feeling sorry for ourselves, being poor, unhappy, unhealthy. Like, that life's gone. That life's dead. That life's gone. That life was brought in by sin. And then when we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, Romans 10, 9 and 10, we become brand new. We become spirit-filled. We become as Christ. So those old feelings, emotions, those negative thoughts, like they're in the past. And each day, if we practice the things we're encouraged, practice does make perfect. And we are already perfect, but our old man likes to pop up. Our old man likes to bring lies and diversions and thoughts. And when we believe that, then we're not perfect because we're believing a lie. We're believing in who we once were. And believe it or not, that person is now dead. But it's going to take for you to believe that that person is gone and you are now alive in Christ. You are God's heavenly congress and you have great authority. And when you move, it may sound a bit controlling or a bit rigid or a bit, I don't know what thoughts and feelings people have. I don't have these feelings, but I know some people may. Like, you're being deceived. You're being deceived. Even the disciples of Jesus Christ wanted to draw near, wanted to be with him all the time, left their jobs, left their boats, left their families, and they followed him. He said, you know, follow me. And they did. And why did they follow him? Because they knew he had the words of life. They knew he was different. They knew he was given by God and that he came to bring life everlasting. And then Jesus Christ himself taught them how to do the same things that he did, how to heal the sick, how to raise the dead, how to cast out devil spirits. And at times they didn't do it. You know, the disciples, they tried to cast out the devil spirits from the boy. Was it someone? And even Jesus Christ said, like, yeah, get behind me, didn't he? Was that something different? Jesus Christ even was like, you know, like this won't come out, but without prayer.
Yeah,
like praying. Like, what did he mean by that? It means having a relationship with God and listening and watching what Jesus Christ was doing so that they could operate in the same manner, because he knew he wasn't going to be here forever. He knew that his legacy had to continue. He knew he had to equip the people to walk by the Spirit and trust in Jehovah God. And so when they did this, they then started to see great results. So then when Jesus Christ ascended into heaven and the disciples were going about their business, they were able to do the same works as Jesus Christ. You know, the man with outside the gate of Beautiful. Yeah, that's right. And they were like, silver and gold we have none, but in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk. Stand up. They had boldness. They had authority. They knew that they were trained well to operate the way God desired them to operate. And it's the same thing with us. Like, this isn't no game. Really, it's no game. It's life and living. And we are to hear what we're being encouraged. And when we practice it and do it, then we don't just get to benefit and see the results. Everyone else does. Then leaders are rising up, more laborers are coming, more people are coming to the knowledge of truth and being set free. And it's an exciting, joyful life. This life is joyful. This life should be excellent, happy. Like, I feel like I'm living my best life. Yeah, there's things that go on. There's situations that arise. But we have to take hold and just keep moving. Keep moving. Why would any of us want to continue in the past? Why would any of us want to continue on old teachings and old things that didn't work, that didn't produce fruit? Because as for me in my life, the last 5 years, great fruit has been produced. And now I want to bear much more fruit. And according to God's plan for my life, that's definitely going to happen. Like, there will be great outreach and great growth all over the UK, Europe, America, and the uttermost parts of the earth. I'm in total agreement with Lawrence with this. Total agreement. And he was the one that stood. He was the one that stood. And as for us here in Bristol, if it wasn't for the tours standing on the truth, going through everything they went through, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be living this life. We may have gone to church, maybe seen been blessed a little bit, but not really moving in this great power, in this great authority, in this great understanding. And it reminds me of how Jesus taught his disciples. He corrected them at times. You know, he led them at times. He guided them at times. He left them at times. But when they listened, they saw great fruit. When they listened, they saw great productivity. And this is the best life. Like, we're living in the greatest time ever. Ever to mankind, we are living it. And I'm just so blessed and fired up and thankful, like so thankful to God for every opportunity he gives us. But we don't want to become complacent or wishy-washy, just happy in the moment. Really, God wants us to expect so much more, expecting the best, living the best, desiring the best, and so that we can give the best. And then when we give the best, people's ears are open, people's eyes are open, people are interested, and then people draw near. And when people draw near, then they become free. Then they become free. And sometimes when people draw near, they don't really like what they're hearing, because the truth sometimes can hurt, because it goes against the doctrines of devils that they've been hearing, or the narratives in the world that they've been hearing. But God has a way of penetrating people's hearts and really opening the eyes of people's understanding and really setting people free. So it may seem too disciplined, but if it's too disciplined, that's good. For me, I love being told what to do, and I love a disciplined life. I'm very disciplined in many avenues, like with my eating, with my life in general. And why would God be any different? Like, God wants us to know who we are, so that devil spirits are fleeing, that sickness is eradicated, that poverty is completely demolished, that people are really not in bondage or in captivity, and they can see and they can hear, because this is the life God's called us to live. Like, really, as he is, so are we in this world. And the way that we operate in all of that is by what we speak. What we speak. God has been encouraging me a lot over the last 2 weeks and longer, since 2020. Say what you want, not what you see. But the power of our words, like, our words are so powerful. What you speak today is going to manifest in your future. What you're declaring out of your mouth is going to come to pass. You are filled with the Spirit. You are prophesying out of your mouth each day. And people don't realize how powerful their words are. People don't realize how powerful their thoughts are. But they are powerful. They have impact. And we are sowing our seeds. And we want greatness. So you speak to the spirit of poverty, like, you get out. I am wealthy. I am successful. I have multiple avenues of income. I am blessed to be a blessing. I give great abundance, and great abundance flows to me. I speak to sickness. You get out. You leave. You cannot be a part of me. You know, it's God who is quickening my mortal body, and I am healed, delivered, set free. Spirit of infertility, spirit of all kinds, whatever it is, like, you speak to it, speak to that mountain, speak to that giant. And it brings me back to David when he was going up against Goliath. You know, Goliath was like laughing at him, and he knew, David knew, he didn't come to him with anything, but he was going to him with the spirit of the Lord, Jehovah God, and he knew that God had his back. He didn't need what every other man in the world needed. He didn't need all the armor and all the weaponry that they had. He just needed to know God was with him. So whatever you're facing, you need to know God is with you, and you need to declare out of your mouth what you want to see. You need to declare words of faith. You need to declare words that God is encouraging you to declare, and they will come to pass. Like, don't be foolish in this area. Don't be... We have the five fundamentals, or the five vital signs. Me and Lawrence was talking about this the other day. The five vital signs, you know, that we speak in tongues much, really speak in tongues from the heart. Like, let the intent of our heart be so pure. Speak in tongues as much as you can. Don't just do it because you're told to do it. Do it because you want to do it, because you see the benefit of why you're doing it. You feel the benefit of doing it. Walking by the Spirit, wow, this transformed my life. I was so scared to be a believer. I thought I needed to learn Hebrew and Greek. And I remember sitting and going through the book of Corinthians and all the Hebrew and Greek. And it was hard. I ran away from that fellowship as quick as I could because I just thought, I am not qualified for this. Like, God, I don't know who, what's going on here, but this isn't me. And it kind of brought a hindrance in my life, those sort of teachings, because I just didn't feel worthy. I didn't feel valuable. I didn't feel like I was enough. I could hardly speak English, let alone learn Hebrew and Greek. But then praise be to God, he brought the new revelation into our heart where we can walk by the Spirit, where we can be led of God's Spirit, and we can move in signs, miracles, and wonders. And it's not on us, but it's on God. And if we let him lead us, if we give him the green light, he will do magnificent things. And to connect with heart, to connect with purpose, to connect with meaning. Why? Because we're being told to? No, because we want to, because we want to continue to learn. We want to continue to develop that fellowship. We want to continue to hear the wonderful fresh bread from God. To pray for the laborers, like this is so important for every believer, even if you don't desire your own fellowship, pray for laborers to send to someone else's fellowship, like pray for those people such as should be saved, pray unto the Lord of the harvest that he will echo, he will pour out those believers, those leaders, those laborers, so that more and more people can live this great life. And the other one, like confession. Like this, I've missed one of those, but confession, like, it's so powerful. We need to confess out of our mouth and believe in our heart. It got us saved. Like, this very scripture was what made us to become saved. You know, when we confessed in our mouth and believed in our heart, the Lord Jesus. But it's not just that. It's confessing with our mouth and believing in our heart that everything God promises is ours. Everything God says is available is ours. And we confess it every day. We declare it every day. When the world is tearing people down, we build people up. When the world is going off to the left or to the right, we stay focused. We stay delivered. We stay happy. And this gives God great glory. Like, it gives him great glory. Oh, and we honor God with our substance. How can I forget that one? Like, again, this has transformed my life, like really transformed my life. This isn't a man's teaching. This isn't a man's teaching to get prosperous. This isn't a way of somebody getting money into their bank accounts. This is a spiritual, practical application that will bring forth fruit, that will bring great joy, peace, laborers, and everything else to your path. And God doesn't give you an amount, like wherever you start, you just begin. And then God will increase you. And as he increases you, you can increase to God. And then it carries on and it carries on. The heavenly flow does not dry up. The heavenly flow does not dry up. The heavenly flow continues. But we have to be obedient and we have to do everything from the heart. And I feel really fired up from what Lawrence and Kim shared. And I feel very privileged to go after them. I feel like my word should have been silent after they shared, because I have great reverence to the words that God speaks into my life through them. But I, like, as a witness unto all of you, I was born an atheist. You know, I was not born and brought up in Christian values or with Christian people around me and to know about the love of God. I was brought up very different. I had my own agenda. I was very proud. I was brought up thinking or being told you have to do everything on your own. You know, you're a strong woman. You don't need a man. You don't need people. And that was embedded into me for a very long time. So it took a real humble heart in 2020 to shed that away and to really put my trust and reliance in God, to let him lead me, to let him direct me, and to let him show me where I needed to be fed. And then to take what I was being encouraged and do it with my whole heart. And since doing that, I have prospered. Like, my whole life is prospering. My whole vision is prospering. The things that God has given me and Danny to do is just amazing. And it's not that we're boasting, but it's a testimony. It's a testimony to God in all his glory, that if we just listen, if we really just listen, and sometimes it takes time. sometimes you don't see things straight away because God's training you. He's like stripping you. He's cleansing you. He's doing a work within you. So it feels like it's taking time, but time goes so quick. It's not even that long. It's just great. It's just really, really great. And my desire is that more people understand and feel the way that I do about God and really see God in their life the way me and Danny see God in our life. Because just like Lawrence shared, we wouldn't ever encourage anyone to do anything that we're not doing ourselves. We are not hypocrites. Like, this is life and living. This is everyday life. This isn't just a diet. This isn't just something for one day a week. This is every single day moving with God, moving in his practical application and letting him really show us great and mighty things. And so life's good, guys. Like, life's good. Get off the roller coaster. Get off the roller coaster. If there's some of you that are listening to old sharings or fellowship in here, there and everywhere, you're free to do what you want. But for me, when I withheld myself from doing that, and even at times now, you know, Instagram and YouTube could try and draw you in. My encouragement is to remove it, because if it's not producing fruit, if it's not producing longevity of goodness in your life, then what is the profit behind it? And sometimes it seems a bit selfish because it seems like we're leaving a brother or sister or we're not doing the right thing. But if you keep your focus on God, if you keep your heart towards God, he will align you perfectly what you need to do and where you need to be. For some people, God may use you to be here, there and everywhere for a purpose. Like, we don't put God in a box. We don't limit him, but we really have to incline our ear to what he's saying and ensure it's what he's directing. Remember, Paul really desired to go to Jerusalem. It wasn't God's plan, and we know what happened there. That's not going to happen to any of us. But what I'm saying, sometimes we can do things out of the goodness of our heart, and it's not inspired and led of God. So it won't bring fruit. It won't bring deliverance. It won't bring the manifestation of what God wants to bring in your life. And you are called and chosen with a great purpose. And this is our best life. And I feel like I was very loud sharing this sharing. And I'm sorry if I was speaking very fast. I'm just trying to get my heart and God's heart across that you are handpicked and chosen by him. You are truly seated on his right hand side. And if you just pull back, and if it feels a bit lonely, it's okay. You know, if it feels a bit you don't understand, it's okay. Just keep going. Just keep going. Just keep moving. Just keep praying. Keep speaking in tongues. Keep practicing. And the glory of God will truly, truly manifest in your life very, very quickly. God's in for acceleration, like acceleration and impact. And now is the time. Now is the time. People don't need to be worrying about the end times. Like, we need to know that we're going to be gathered. Like, it's great what Lawrence, God's work through Lawrence. Because why are believers in fear? Why are believers worrying? Why are believers scared of something that's going to be so magnificent that we're a part of? Like, why would God cause us to damnation and destruction when we're his chosen loved people? I don't understand it. But what I do know and what I do understand is God is good. He is good all the time. And I will finish with, if you haven't already done so, seek God with all your heart. Go to him and say, God, enough is enough. Today is the day where I change. Today is the day where I make the commitment and dedicated decision unto you. Where do you want me connecting? Where do you want me fed? Where do you want me to really hear my instruction like Jesus instructed his disciples? And even though it's not written, I'm sure their disciples instructed their disciples and the disciples after the disciples, and it's still going on today, right? Like, go to God. Like, this is burning on my heart, like burning on my heart. Just go to God. Don't just do it because you feel like this is a nice fellowship and blah, blah, blah. Go to God with your whole heart. write it down, and wherever he leads you and directs you, stay there. Stay there, and I promise you, you will benefit. But, and that's big for me to say, I promise, because who am I to promise? I'm just a little woman here in Bristol. But I know God is energizing this in me, that if you stay there and you focus in and you keep your eyes single, you will truly see the life that you've desired for so many years. So God bless you.
Wow. Wonderful parents, mum, dad, my wife, Amber. Really, really fantastic and great encouragement for all of us to really be blessed and lots to take in and to really apply into our lives each and every day. Every day is a new day, as we know. And so, like, God has really blessed us and he's really caused us to be mighty warriors for the Lord Jesus Christ, to really carry that light and that witness before God. And, like, first and foremost, our life is before God. So, you know, we're walking unto him and everything we do is unto God. Like, when we receive the words, so it's not like receive the words as Lawrence, as Amber, but from God. Okay, God, these are words. Like, when I hear my dad and Amber share, I know these are words from God. How do I know? Well, I know them in flesh. And I know God is worth, like, great, wonderful encouragement. And so, again, it proves God that we can speak by the Spirit of God. Like, even Jesus encouraged the disciples, you know, take no script. Don't worry what you're going to say. You ask God and he will give you within the hour, right? So, like, we speak by God, like, by the mouth of God, not that we need to frame or think of beforehand, okay, what am I going to say? What am I going to speak? We got the Spirit of God, like on the day of Pentecost. You know, they received the Spirit, and what did Peter do? He began, and the Spirit gave him great utterance, which 3,000, as you were sharing earlier, that was saved. Not only saved, but they continued. They continued steadfastly in what was being taught, what the direction was. You know, like, someone's given, like, God is given direction, but we got other ideas, other thoughts and desires, which then takes us off track. But, like, Amber, you were sharing, like, let's get it straight. Like, what's in order here? Is it God's will? Is it God's job first, or is it our own thing? And there's blessing. Like, we will find the blessing in the free willness of doing unto God, and that's what we're looking to do. That's what we're wanting to achieve each and every day, even with the challenges. You know, even with things that may come up, we can really change that whole perspective with our perception and with the words that we're speaking, with what we're really saying with our mouth. And it's just so great how God has positioned us to really be led of his Spirit. It's not led of me. It's not led of my great ideas, but it's being led of God. Like, really, okay, God, what are you leading? What am I to do? Like, because we can get caught up in many things very easily. And for me personally, like, my carnal mind can kind of get into things, very straight things, and do too much. But God's like, no, like, you don't need to do so much. Like, rest in me, you know, manage, having things managed. Like, it was shared earlier, you know, like, having the right food, the right routines, having these things in check, because it's going to give you great advance in everything that you're doing. And so this is wisdom, like, just in everyday living. Not only that, but, like, it frees you up to really move with God, like, to really be led of that Spirit. Like, we did, like, my schedule is very busy, but I can't afford to let that take away from my heart and my mind with God, taking the time away of me sowing into my into the spirit, instead of so much of, okay, got to do this, got to work so hard. Like, this is not God's will for any of us. Like, yes, we work, but God wants us to enjoy everything that we do in this life, because he gives us the faith, confidence and trust, the good emotions. Like, we can really be focused in what we're saying. Like, Jesus wasn't just willy-nilly saying things. Like, he spoke when God was working in him to speak. And so as he answered, okay, like even with the lady that was caught in adultery, okay, he just waited, pondered, doodled in the sand, whatever, asking, I know he was, okay, God, you work in me now. And there was that time, and then God gave him the answer. Him without sin cast the first stone. So, like, the words that we speak, like, even again, like, let's look at Stephen, like, when he was brought up to the chariot, how the angel led him, and then great words were spoken by Stephen, and then even when before he died, great words by the Spirit, like, even though he didn't have to die, it was still great words. It was great words of God, which would have penetrated the hearts of those that were there. So, like, we want to speak God's words, words that are edification, life given, you know, like, confess unto wholeness. This is the greatest thing that we can do, and it's changed our lives from since 2020, since we've really put these things into practice. Like, great benefit. And, like, it's okay if you don't do it. Like, if you don't do it, you miss out. And that is just how it is. You miss out. Because you're led of yourself. Your pride comes in. And that's why we remain humble and meek. Allow God to work within us. And, you know, when, again, I just see it just through many different situations with me and Amber, just like on a marriage, when things like maybe bills go up or something, like, it's just not how it used to be. Now everything's just so easy. Okay, like, God is taking care of this. Okay, if God needs us to do something, then that's what's, you know, he might put something in our heart. Okay, we'll maybe do this. And then we do it, and then we see the great benefit. Like, we don't worry about anything. Like, just being real honest, I'm not worried about anything, but I'm really zoning in on what God wants me to do. If a situation arises, we speak the truth of God. We speak the outcome of what we want. And that is so. And it can't be any other thing, because, like, God has given us this authority, this power with the words and being led of his Spirit. That's why we can't get so caught up, like, even when it comes to the scriptures, we want to be led of God. Even if we go to the scripture, we want to be led of God, because it's, as you said, Dad, like, it's the Spirit of God that reveals the truth of God's word, like, of the scripture. Many outtakes, many things that sound good, that does attract the ear, but when you're really inclined to what God is showing, you see through it. Like, I really do. I see through a lot of the doctrine that comes through the Trinity, that comes through the online, Instagram, YouTube. It's just complete difference. I see the difference. Like, we are as he is. Let's be led of God. Let's speak his word. Like, that's what the apostles did. That was the exact thing. And how? How? Like, they seen Jesus, they were with Jesus, the disciples were. They seen how he moved, how he worked. There was an example. But when that Holy Spirit was thrown out upon them, things changed. And the devil wants to darken that. Like, oh no, these things don't happen. It's not, no, this ain't, no. Like, that was a big thing. When Holy Spirit was poured out, it was a big thing. And we need to remember that was a big thing. That was our freedom brought, like, freedom, direct access to the living God. Didn't have to do all the commandments and the sacrificing to even have a say. Like,
You know, there was so much. So, like, this is big. Let's not neglect that. Now we know this truth, like, when Paul encourages, you know, don't get entangled again with the yoke of bondage, with the things and the affairs of life, with the old way of thinking. Like, set your mind on things above. That's what's going to change. That's doing the renewed mind. Like, when the negative comes, then it's, okay, we don't say those words. We change that mindset. We change that process. And that's what I've been doing anyway. And, like, God has just been going exceedingly abundantly above in my life. Yeah, it may not be perfect, but I don't even focus there. I focus on who I am. And if I do something wrong, of course, that's my relationship with God. Of course, I'm going to, okay, God, I messed up there. But I'm not going to stop. Let's keep going. Let's keep trucking. Keep working in me. We can't afford to stop. It's like you were sharing, Amber, you know, we need to continue. Just keep continuing. Honoring God. If things don't seem right, then God's showing you. You need to go into prayer. You may need to change something. And if things are getting hard, it's because you're looking at it from your perspective, from the carnal perspective. When you start looking at things, it's like when that saying, you know, do only what Jesus would do. Say only what Jesus would say. You know, that's such a true saying. Because if we do that, we're going to benefit. Our spiritual eyes are going to be opened. Because, you know, God is just so great. Like I shared last week about how I met the couple that were losing faith and I got to encourage them greatly. And again, this has happened today. Like, so where I've been working, I've been doing quite a big area, kitchen, hallway, and then going into the main hallway, which goes to like the front door. And they're having these long plank tiles. So I've been doing that with them, but I haven't said anything to these couple about me believing in God, that I believe in Jesus Christ. No, I've said absolutely nothing at all. And, I've got on really well with the customer. Amber's met him the other day as well. And the lady was just so impressed with me and Amber. Like, she was just telling me today as well, like, I'm so impressed with you and your wife, like, how you work together, how you're so, like, like-minded and loving. And, like, she was just amazed, like, how me and Amber was. And obviously, I shared, obviously, me, Amber, and now we have the kids and just, yeah, that was it. Didn't even bring up God, nothing. And today I'm just there working and she's come up to me and she's like, Danny, can I ask you a question? I hope it's not like in too personal. She's quite posh. In too personal. I was like, no, of course, Jam. What is it? She was like, but are you a believer? Because I really see great light in you. And I was like, well, funny enough, yeah, I'm born again Christian. I believe in God. And she was like, I just knew it. I just knew it. And I was just like, it just blessed me so much because I was just being me and just, you know, just the light really does show. And I was like, oh, that's really great. So I guess I obviously said to her, well, I guess you're a believer. And she said, well, to be honest, I've lost my faith and I'm trying to wiggle my way back in. And it, again, just another great open door. I said, well, this thing by accident. And again, God just gives the great words for me to give to her. And she was just so blessed and just, yeah, it was great. I really got to encourage her husband as well, Andrew. So again, like, God really does have you at the right place in the right time. Now, there's so much that could have missed that. Like, I could have been not really with God, thinking my own thing. I don't think that would have happened. But when we're at peace with God, and, you know, even when things do get under pressure, we don't have to move. You know, it's like building your house upon the rock, and when the winds and storms come, you're not going to, that house is not moving, that house is solid. So again, when we build our house what does that look like? You could even look like that each and every day. Like, that's how I kind of did it, in a sense, to help me, myself, with this. And it's just waking up, okay, I'm going to build the foundation this morning before I go to work. Pray, speak in tongues, think on those things which are above, not on the things of the earth. Doing that when you first wake up, it just sets you up. I don't care what anyone says. For me, it sets me up. So when something does may try to appear, it can even stay because you're shining. You've got God's perspective. You've got that. Everything's flowing like milk and honey. That spirit is energized. It's not suppressed with the fears, worries, doubt, negativity. Yeah? This is why those five fundamentals are just so vital to your spiritual walk. And it's, again, with the people that do lose faith is because they sow all their time into the carnal things. And it becomes very need basis when it comes to God. Okay, God, I need this. Give me this. And then they're not seeing because it's not from a prayer of faith. It's from a want, in a sense, even though it may be a need, in a sense. There's no faith. And God moves with faith. And a lot of people might not like what I just said, but that is the truth. Like, God wants us to speak the right thing. Like he says, death and life are in the power of your tongue, and this is what's going to benefit you. Like he said in Deuteronomy 28 unto the people of Israel, hearken diligently. And it goes for us. We need to hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord our God. Then will the windows of heaven be open upon you. Your barns will have plenty. You shall be fulfilled in all things. You will have all your supplies met by God, by his riches in Christ Jesus. So we are complete in Christ. And how powerful is that? Why are we believing any other thing? Why are we believing any other doctrine? And it was like Paul also told Timothy, in it, Timothy, you know, you keep people in remembrance of this. Make sure they're not teaching any other doctrine. Yeah? What was that? Being led of God, walking by the Spirit, not being conformed to this world, but demonstrating the power of God in that, by that Spirit. And we are the ones that operate that. We are the ones to bring the kingdom of God into this realm, into this reality. Jesus brought the kingdom of God. He healed the sick, he raised the dead, he wasn't easily offended. Oh look, he prays. Oh look, he thinks that she's asleep. It just makes me laugh. Like, we don't have to be afraid. Oh, well, the physician said, so this ain't possible. No, by the stripes of Jesus Christ, you are healed. I'm telling you, this is the truth. And this is what we need to believe. This is the right report. This is the correct report. I'm telling you, this is the report from God. This ain't my, like Amber said, this is God's promises. I'm not promising you this. This is yes and amen. This is signed, sealed, delivered by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when we come into alignment with that, we're going to be on fire. We're not going to be moved. Like, I love Paul. Like, you know, he really knows how to be a base, and he knows how to abound. And that's in everything. Situations, money, fellowship, whatever it may be. If it's quiet, we're blessed. It's easy. If it's busy and it's crazy and it's fruitful, it's going mad, I'm blessed. Why are we moaning and complaining? That's what the children of Israel did. They ended up wandering the same aimlessly for 40 years. So when you find yourself moaning and complaining, that's a sign. Change your words. Say what you want, not what you see. When they finally listened to God, he brought them into the promised land. Lots happened in that place. That was crazy. But yeah, we serve a mighty, mighty God. He's not on vacation. He's living. He's quick. He's powerful. He's sharp. His word's sharper than any two-edged sword. So when we get onto that army, That's the best army. Let's not go to the world's army. Let's go to God's army. Let's see what God is saying. It's like the sergeant in an army, right? Everyone does what that sergeant says. You drop down, give me 20. They don't even speak back unless they're spoken to. So, yeah, that's a bit strict. But, yeah, like, God's not putting that on us. Everything's free will choice. And you have the choice if you want to do that. And there's no condemnation. There's no judging from any of my part. You do what you do with God. But, my heart is just to encourage you to go to God. My heart is to want to see people walk with God, have that relationship with God, because that's why Christ came, so that we could have direct access to God, walk and talk with him, and that we can give to others, that we can give this light. Each and every one of us on here have so much to give, so much to share with others. And, you know, let's not dim that. Let's make that more evidence, even if people think we're weird, because we are weird. Let that share. We are weirdos for Christ. We really are weirdos. We are peculiar people, guys, and we are chosen. We are the chosen ones. So, yeah, love you all, and praise be to God.
Well, both excellent sharings. Well done, guys. Really wonderful and a great blessing. And
very encouraging.
Yeah, I love the testimony of the lady asking if you was a believer. That was great.
And that blesses me as well, because it means we raised him well.
We dragged him up brilliantly, I reckon, love.
We dragged him, but God raised him.
Yeah. Nah, we brought you up good, Dan. Yeah, I think Danny had something to do with it as well. He was a humble little boy as well.
He was, very.
Even though he could be a little shit as well. Anyway, with that, thank you, Danny. Thank you, Amber. We love you guys dearly. And now we've got another wonderful believer. Her name's Rebecca Chancey, is going to share. Go on, Bex. Take it away, girl. God bless you.
Thanks, guys. Really wonderful sharing so far. And, you know, it's just really great to hear what the Spirit of God is really working with in each and every one of you. And, really, we've a lot has been really spoken about confession of heart and really what we're saying, and it is so important. And you know, if you slip back at any point, it just takes one day to completely change your mind around. You can really have a disciplined heart when you choose to. You know, Amber spoke about discipline, how she's disciplined in many areas. And it's just so great, because sometimes we may not have the motivation, but if you've got the discipline, you're going to get up and you'll know you can do it. You know, when you're with God, you really can do all things through Christ. We have such great promises that God has given us. And, you know, if you feel that maybe you've been, you know, fear really does bring torment to you. You can have one thought that stayed with you for so long, and it could take over your mind, and then your body gets anxious, and then you could wake up at night. And that's a torment, you know. That could be spirits trying to torment your mind. But no longer. God really has your back. And when you start to confess, you start to speak, you start to switch around whatever maybe could be going on. You know, the things that go on in this world has no longer has authority over you. God has authority. When we use our authority, when we decide we're going to speak, we're going to use our voice, we're going to use our confession, we're going to go to God for everything. And it is a practice that everything that we do when we wake up in the morning, we know when we wake up, when we open our eyes, we pray. We thank God for the day. We let him prepare our day. So we open our mouths and then we let him in. And then we can ask him, you know, for protection, for peace, for direction for the day. And he's going to give that to you. But if you stay silent and you just, you know, wake up and then you let, you know, let things be, then it's not opening the door for God. to come into your day. You know, we have all got free will choice, and he really wants us to be connected. He wants us to ensure that we're really using the fundamentals, the things that he has given us to the best of our ability, that we don't slip back because of emotion, because of, you know, things that can happen, you know, even things that might go on with the mind. And, you know, if your mind is busy, then watch what you're doing, watch your activity. You know, God has given us such great direction. And we can, it's November, and it's the 6th of November, the start of November. And, you know, we have, what, six weeks left of this year, 6-7 weeks left of this year. And you can make new habits. We don't, you know, the world likes to wait until January, but we can make it, have a dedicated heart, and we can make new habits today. We can say, you know what, enough is enough. And I'm really going to walk the path. I'm going to choose God every day. I'm going to make the choice that it's going to be a new time for me to really lock in with God, lock in with my words, really watching what I'm saying, watching what I'm declaring into my future, because we are the creators of our future. But what are we speaking? You know, that was also spoken about. We create, we are the ones, you know, death and life is in the power of the tongue. So what are you saying with your mouth? What are you creating, you know, saying about your family, what are you saying about your children, what are you saying, you know, what are you thinking about yourself? You know, self thoughts and self love is so important, that if you struggle with that, then, you know, have a pen and a pad and sit and do tasks. There's many things that you can do to really build yourself up. And it's not about yourself, it's who you are in Christ. Your past is gone. You no longer live there. You're no longer who you were yesterday. You are today and now, and you are a born again believer of the Spirit of God. And what does God say about you? You know, what is God saying about your future? Are you declaring the carnal ways of what you believe, or are you declaring what God says? And sometimes we can look at something and we can see that right now this isn't in manifestation. But when you decide to put the full armor of God on, you decide you're going to not let your emotions speak, not let the old person take thought no more. You know, you're not going to let that old man take over anymore. You're really going to put the mind of Christ on. You're really going to use your confession. I feel like the confession is one of the most important things that we do. And what we are, and it's not just about doing the confessions, you know, the confessions are really great, what's been spoken in the morning. It's about watching what we're saying to others, to ourselves, to our children. And then if you have been, maybe you slap back, then, you know, take tomorrow and really sit, take your time, and really start declaring, start saying, start creating your future for 2026. Start coming into agreement, into alignment and harmony with God. Come start into the align with the future that you want to build with God for yourself. What does God want for you? Sit and write your visions and your goals. You know, it's a great time to start now. It's a great time to really sit down and have that time and make the decision of, actually, this is the goals and the vision that I have. Using that imagination, you know, using that thought process to really clear out the things that may need to be cleared out, you know, really get peaceful with God and say, okay, Father, what is it that you have for me? What future is in your hands? And let him write with you. You know, let him build those thoughts within your mind, the pictures within your mind. And then you can really, you know, if we can be all thankful for something every day. Every day there's something to be thankful for, especially if you have dear children. There is something that you can really wake up and you can look at your goals, you know, when you've written them down, and you can then see yourself each day. Just build that vision, build the imagination, build the vision, build up what God, and then keep that with you. You know, there's a great thing that you write down your goals, and then you put in your purse or your wallet and you keep it with you. And you keep reading this and thanking God it's done. And God will do this for you. God is not a dead God. He is a living God who really wants you to recognize the authority, the power. He wants you to recognize how important it is to switch your thoughts, to switch your thinking, to switch your speech. He wants you to really have the most wonderful life that he can create for you, but he needs you to stop and take a look at what you have been maybe creating with your with your words, and say, okay, yesterday or today I haven't done so good. I've been acting carnal, or I've been not thinking or writing my goals down the way I should have. So I'm really going to start. I'm going to take this time and I'm going to do what is encouraged of me. And I'm going to let God write my future, because he has got the most perfect future for each and every one of us. He has got exciting times ahead. He has got the unimaginable things, the enjoyment, you know. He wants every part of you filled with joy. He wants you to wake up in the morning and know who you are. He wants you to wake up in the morning with no fear in your heart, no worries, no doubts. He wants you to wake up and people know that Christ is shining through you. He wants your whole family switched over. You know, he wants people around, you know, where your work, he wants people, the postman, you know, he wants the delivery men, he wants, you know, whoever can be around you, the school playground. He wants those people to recognize that you are the light and you can teach people the way Jesus taught them. You can be that person that God has called you to be. It's a decision. It's a decision that we all can make every day. I'm going to put God first here. Forget yesterday. Forget your past. Forget who you were. That's no longer you. But today you can make a choice. You can say to yourself, there is no, I'm no longer living in the way that in my carnal way, in a mindset of defeat, because we are victorious. We are not victims. We are victorious. And when we start to recognize that we can live in such a way that is so powerful, that is going to really prove God to people. That is really going to prove God to us. We all know God is true and living, but other people may not. So when you stand up and you be bold, you stand up and you recognize, and you get really humble. You know, God really does humble you, and it could just be 1 second, you know, and it would be a change in a thought, and then you recognize. And then God can really work with you when you've got a humble and meek heart, and you just say, God, I'm not doing this by myself. I know you have the power to completely switch my whole life around. You know, I know you have the words that I can speak that can switch my life around. You know, Danny said it was like, what would Jesus do? Like, what would Jesus say? And we could think this in situations. What would Jesus say in this? What is the confession of his heart? What's the confessions of God's heart? What are we saying that? Or are we just backing down because of, you know, being weirdos for God as such? You know, it doesn't matter what the world thinks. The world hasn't got the Spirit of God. The world has their perspective. The world's perspective is only brought, you know, worries, fears, doubts, is brought the need for having to look a certain way and having certain things and filling this need within their heart, which will never be fulfilled because God is the only one who's going to fulfill it. So when you start to recognize that God is the fulfillment that everyone is missing within their heart, you know, there's a gap in everyone's heart for God. And when people become humble, when people see the light, when people say, see, this isn't religion, this is about relationship with the living God. You know, I listened to a song and it was the most beautiful. It brought me to tears because it was just a short intro of the song. I don't think the guy has actually brought it out, but it explains how Jesus, how the world looks and sees who Jesus and who Jesus is. And it's so untrue. You know, we come as we are. We don't come, you know, he doesn't judge us. We come as we are. He doesn't want us, you know, all perfect. It doesn't matter. It just reminded me of when I was younger because it said, you know, people think that you have to come. You don't smoke, you don't drink. But we don't do that now. But at first, when you do come, you are a mess. And God turns your mess into a message. And then it switches. I will try and get that song so people can hear. I'm not explaining it as best as I can. But I seen it and it was the most beautiful way. And I thought, wow, it's just what the world needs to really hear, because it's not who God is, you know. Not Jesus is God, because I know that, but what I was saying is God is not the way the world tries to perceive him to be. But we can be the ones that shows people the truth, and the truth will set people free. The truth of who God and our loving Lord and Savior, you know, who he is, how he can switch everything around for us. So my encouragement is really, keep praying, keep loving people, love yourself, really love yourself enough to change who you are on the inside so people can say, wow, there's a change and there's something, there's that light inside of that person, just like that person done with Danny. And they will be able to see, you know, they'll be able to see the truth. And then, you know, labourers are going to come. They are going to come. The world right now and the things that are happening, especially in the United Kingdom, what if you looked at it, a lot of people, I can see a lot of people coming to God. It was just like the time of COVID-19. People like freaked out a little bit, you know, but they freaked out a lot. But look, and it was the adversary. It was the adversary roaring like a lion, you know. But the ones who, you know, who recognized, they seen, and then we were able to really get the word of God within our hearts, knowing greater is he that's in us than he that's in this world. Because even though this world is maybe run by, you know, the devil's kingdom, God in the spiritual world is already won. And time that Jesus is going to come back, And we are, it is going to be the most wonderfulest, well, we're going to be gathered, sorry. It is going to be the wonderfulest time. And we can be so thankful that we listened and heard, you know, and we lived the way that was pleasing to God, not to man. Because, you know, the people just want to please people. But it's about pleasing God and our wonderful Lord and Saviour. So that is really what I wanted to share. And yeah, God bless you.
Well, that was wonderful, Becky. Well done, love. That was great, great encouragement, great sharing. And it's great that God's showing you many different things. And I'm just so blessed you're not woke or anything like that. Bless you. Only joking. No, you're doing really good, love. And it's great to hear you share your heart out and bless everyone and build everyone up. And also your fellowship's going really great as well, which I'm happy about. And so that's growing as well. There's three of us on there, and there's so pretty good. And that will continue to develop and grow. And you've got a lot of things coming up. You've got Darcy's birthday next week as well. She's seven, isn't she?
Darcy's seven on the 12th. Alfie's five on the 1st.
And then you'll be flying off to Gran Canaria. Puerto Rico.
Gran Canaria. Oh, my God. I'm just doing on it.
Okie dokie. Well, thank you ever so much for sharing, my dear. That was really great. I recorded you this time, so I'll send over your recording. And wonderful stuff. And next, I'm going to keep it in Bristol. I'm going to ask Jason to come and share next. So, Jason. Thank you, Bex.
Just on smell. Just on smelly. Just a smelly.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Lawrence. And God bless everyone. Wow. We got an awesome king. His name is Jesus Christ. There ain't any above him. Thank God for that. And thank God for our ministers, Lawrence and Kim. Who, as we heard earlier tonight, Amber sharing how, you know, they've stood relentlessly over many years now, and no matter what they've been hit with, I've witnessed it myself because I've done my best to stand with them. and seen so many things they've gone through. They've just faced it with God in the name of Jesus Christ, listening to God's direction. And you can see where they are today. It's just great. Lawrence in his nice silk shirt and shorts. and yeah, we are meant to be enjoying our lives. And Lawrence hit on something tonight that was a very key point. Even in the scriptures, it mentions there's many voices in the world, right? We know there's people saying all sorts of different things out there, and some of it sounds, oh my gosh, it just gets you. Oh, what's that? Oh. And that's how it gets you. But we've got to be careful because, you know, these things can be used to reel people in. Unbelievers are reeled in by it, by a lot of stuff. But what's behind it? What's the motivation of it? Everything we get from God is encouragement. Everything we get through Jesus Christ is encouragement. He was here encouraging people. And when it came to the religious lot, he was like, get out. You know, and yeah, everything he did was with love. Yeah, and he didn't bullshit around. When he had to be straight, he was straight. But he was led by the Spirit of God, and the love of God was burning brightly within him. He wasn't teaching people to come under the yoke, under the thumb of anyone. He was teaching people to be free of that. And it's like Kim was saying earlier, you know, it's like a fellowship place. We're living one way out there, but we're living another way here. It's like putting on your fellowship place all of a sudden. Well, why do that? Why not just be who you are in Christ? And that's where the real freedom is. And, you know, I know every day I'm getting up, and I'll be honest, I've had a couple of moments this week I slipped up in an area and it opened the door. When I saw it, there was something coming at me and I turned around and just whump, get out in the name of Jesus Christ. What'd you do? Did you cower away in fear? No. You take it on. You set it straight. You get out in the name of Jesus Christ. You're burning. We've got the armor of God for a reason. And when you've got the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth for a reason. And every time we speak it out in the enemy's face, whatever's coming at us, we speak out. We speak against it. You're using the sword of the Spirit, stab straight through whatever is coming at you, right? Does that sound harsh? Well, no, because it's better than being taken down, right? So, and the encouragement is stand. Brilliant, Becky. We're not victims. We are victorious because we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord. And it's one thing to say He is Lord, but are we living that way? Have we made Him the Lord in our lives? Are we ready to serve? Are we ready to do what it takes to be that child of God, that light in this world, serving with love? And yeah, sometimes we get into carnal because we got the whole my nature there. Oh, but we've got to reckon it dead. And the only way to reckon it dead is like, again, Danny said earlier, when renewing your mind, putting on the thoughts, putting on the right thoughts, put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, it says in the scriptures. How do we put on the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, where is he? I'm putting in our minds. It starts in the mind. Everything is, as the world would say, psychological. Right? We transform our thinking. That's the renewing of mind. It's when we, I am a child of the living God. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Every tongue rising against me in judgment, I'll condemn because it's the inheritance of the servants of the Lord. Jehovah, our God, we serve, as well as our Lord Jesus Christ we serve. And that's Old Testament, so it refers to Jehovah, our God, our Father. But we also know through Jesus Christ, we've got this as well. So we serve Him as our King as well, and our Lord and Savior. God said it. So that's it done, right? We condemn because it's the inheritance of the servants of Him. And our righteousness is of God. When we're walking in His righteousness, not our own made up versions of righteousness or anyone else's idea of righteousness, but what God says. And we're following His lead, not Him following our lead. otherwise, we'd be waiting forever. It just won't happen. And again, the discipline word comes into it. That's the discipline. And in doing what He's given us to do in a 24-hour period, so it's one day at a time. Yeah, we can have plans, but we live one day at a time. And that's led by the Spirit, even with going to the Scriptures. Heck, I learned how to minister healing and casting out spirits and things like this years ago when not much was going on in Bristol. We didn't know people in India or Nepal or anywhere like that at all. And I've asked God to guide my sons with the Bible, and I just open wherever. And it jumped out the page at me every time. He really did guide me. that way, I was learning with God instead of learning what I was being taught by men. And it can be great what we're taught by men, but we've got to check it with God. Does God want me to be looking at that right now? Does God want me to be getting into this right now? Or does He want me to be doing what He wants me to be doing? Heck, God even told me to stop listening to audio sharings from a ministry years ago. And I looked back and said, what? Isn't that what I'm supposed to do? And He said it twice, stop listening. You're going to have to show me then what you want me to do. This is exactly what it's all about. But I'm so blessed because God did that with me years ago. And I would have had no idea otherwise. And now we're discovering that is the way of God. It's not my way, it's God's way. But I love it, so I'm going to have it as my way as well. Because it does produce the best results in any area of life. Whatever things you're aiming for in your life, whatever things you're setting out to do, with God, and you know it's of God, it's what he's given you to do, do it with all your heart. And he's first and foremost in all of it. Father, lead me in this. Teach me, show me, guide me. I'm nothing without you. And God, thank you. Lead me by your Holy Spirit this day. Lead me in your wisdom and understanding this day. Knowledge and wisdom and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. This is what I want. This is what I desire. I desire these efforts. Thank you, they're there. Thank you, my finances are flourishing. Thank you, this is good. That is good. This is good. Name the things. Name the categories of life. And don't be afraid to do it. This is what guys are doing in the scriptures. And there's so many different ways of reading the scriptures. But even the Apostle Paul said, if any man teach any other doctrine than what we've taught you, let him be accursed. And he said it twice. Right? Who has bewitched you that you should follow another gospel, which is not another gospel, like the Bible today. There's so many takes on the Bible today. It's not another. But there'll be some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ. What does that mean, to pervert the gospel of Christ? To hinder things, to hinder the movement. So a smooth movement is a smooth movement. But when something interrupts that smooth movement, it's no longer smooth. So when it's led by God, it's smooth. And I guess we're all working on different categories of our lives, and we're working it with God, which is great, because that's how it should be. The father-child relationship through the Son, Jesus Christ. It's amazing. And again, this week, I find myself in a regular store I go into, and where I share with these Muslim security guard guys. I get on really great with them, actually. They've got great hearts as well. And one of them, even the other day, again, remember the testimony I shared with him, and I'm thinking, this guy's going to come along soon, isn't he, Lord? I want a laborer, come on. That'd be great if he becomes my laborer. And the other guy, they both got good hearts. But he's kind of on the fence with it all right now. But there's a member of staff in there that always speaks to me. She's a lovely woman. And these two guys are from two different parts of Africa. She's from South Africa, another part again. And we've been saying hi for ages, and just the other day I was in there, yesterday actually, on the evening, and turned out she started calling me Mister. Hey Mister, how you doing? And it's just so funny. And this time I caught her out. She didn't see me first. I saw her first. I said, "Hey lady," like this, and she went, "Oh," like this. So, and we just got chatting. It turns out she's actually a Christian. Brought up, she knows all different things in the Bible. And something caught my heart about something she said the other day. Oh, income tax is going up and all this. And I didn't have a chance to even share anything with her before she had to get back to her job. But it kept coming to my mind since then. Not that I'm dwelling on it, but it kept coming to my mind. And then yesterday, I just had this opportunity to get chatting to her. And she said to me, "So how did you know about Jesus Christ? How did you come to believe in all this?" So I started sharing with her. And she's got a background from her home. And I shared with her about what we do here. I said, "You know, if you ask God for it," I shared about Lawrence. And so, you know, every time he prays, he asks God for that plane ticket, because she's concerned about going back home to South Africa, and oh my gosh, it's so expensive and all this. I said, what he does, he prays to God. He even asks for business class and he gets it. He asks for, you know, first class and he gets it. So, and he's in a full-time ministry position, not on a salary or nothing like that, just looking to God. So to encourage her, and she, "Oh yeah, I know. Ask and you shall receive." And she said, "God's done loads of things in my life already." And I ended up giving her our details. So where she's going to be in contact or not, I don't know. But I didn't look for the open door, but it came up. And I realized, you know, the love of God, God knows everybody anyway, but he wants them to get to know him. And it starts with the house of God. When we get to know God as our Father, as well as our God that can provide, our Father that can provide for his children, he doesn't neglect his children. When we realize it fully in our hearts, we're not going to look anywhere else. Why would we? Why would we want to? Okay, so the world's saying this and the world's saying that. Oh, so what? Shut up and go away. Block it out. I don't care. I don't give a hoot. I don't trust the world. My trust is in God. And with the YouTube thing, I'm careful what I'm looking at on there. I wanted some music before going to sleep last night to just settle me down a bit. And I'm thinking ukulele music, that'd be nice. As I'm on there, you see things flashing up. And I'm thinking, no, look past it. Don't need it. And I got to my music and I got so blessed. I was just relaxed with this music in the background. And, you know, God wants the best for us. So we have to see it and recognize that. And when we accept God's very best for us, we've got the very best to offer other people. If we're settling for anything else, then that's what we're going to be offering to people. And I know what I want. And staying on course with this, with the sound doctrine, and seeing it move throughout the UK and even Europe and the world and other parts, even Africa. I'm saying, God, hey, if this is a view, let's do it. I'm ready. Yeah, whoever you want to bring me, Lord, wherever they're from, I don't care. Wherever their country is, their nationality, their language, I don't care. Just give me the laborers. God's heart is all meant to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. All people. So, Father, you bring them. You're the one bringing them. Just that one key one that's equal to the millions first. And that's it. That's it. We not keep doing the things we're doing, but we step up on the things we're doing and step up on the things we're doing. And if we bummed it, hey, it doesn't matter. Back up, move again. All right, keep getting moving again and keep moving again. So we don't fall completely out. And then we're still keeping moving. We'll still see the things of God taking place in our lives. And if you're feeling a bit like this inside, so what? Feelings come and go. But the love of God lives and abides forever. We don't go by how we feel. And no matter whether it's anxiety or what, okay, cast all your care upon God, for he cares for you. I'll give it to you, Dad. I'm moving. And that's how he wants us to be, literally. Time is short. We know time is short. Kim said this tonight. We don't know how much time we've got. But I'd like to pack in everything I can into every moment I've got. Into just looking to God, being with God, not doing it my own way. But really listening and doing it his way. And hey, if it's in my heart to open my mouth and speak, I'm going to open my mouth and speak. I'm not afraid of faces. I'm not afraid of anyone's face. And it could be the difference between life and death for them. Spiritually, physically even maybe, mentally, emotionally. I just don't know what impact it will have until the results come. Only God knows that, because it's him that I want guiding me. And it's his power with an impact that he's placed within me to be able to impart to others. He does the work. Man, I've got the easy part. We've all got the easy part. So yeah, I'm really blessed. I'm really thankful. I'm really happy in my life. And no matter what I think I could have, I don't care. I'm thankful for what I've got. And, you know, content with such things as I have, but looking forward to greater things, and especially the greater things of God. Like Jesus said, when you believe on me, you should do the same works as I do, and greater things, because I go to my Father. And he goes so that he can fill all things. fill us with the Holy Spirit so we can get out there and have an impact as he had when he was on this earth. So that's my sharing. And thank you very much for listening to me, everybody. Thank you very much for asking me to share, Lawrence. And thank you, Father God, for all this. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Well, thank you, Jason. Great sharing. Could you ask Ethel? Ethel Robinson.
Ethel Robinson, I've got to ask you. I'm asking you.
Do you want to share next, Ethel?
If you'd like to share next.
Ethel! She asked to share.
I asked her and she didn't answer.
Yeah, she asked me to share. Ethel, do you want to share next?
Hello, can you hear me?
Hello, Mrs. Robinson. Miss Robinson.
Hello. Hello, thank Richard.
Hello.
Hey, hi everybody. Richard.
Hey.
So I have my special guest.
How you doing? How you doing, guys?
He dropped by to hear testimonies.
I did.
So,
thanks for the praise.
Yeah.
You did well, sir. And Rebecca, too.
Yeah, the ones that he's heard so far. So, yeah, God bless you guys in the name of Jesus. Beautiful testimony, by the way, Brother Jason. Yeah, you're on point. You're always on point, man. You just helped to build up our body here. You know, we are God's family. But anyway, yeah, it's been a great week and, you know, still growing in every which way that I am as a minister, as a leader. And, there's a lot to be learned still. And we had a Zoom yesterday, my Zoom, every Wednesday at noon. So I had Glenna and then Lawrence came on. That was nice. Instead of one-on-one, we had two-in-one. We surrounded Lawrence, you know. But, you know, Lord, he never runs out of words to say. I'm thinking sometimes, how does this man keep talking and talking? But, you know, again, it's the rhema words. Like, I was telling Richard the other day, God loves diversity, right? So he made us all different. And yet God is no respecter of person, right? He made us all different because each one of us has something to bring on the table, different things. And that's the beauty of the diversity. We learn from each other. We pick it up. And, you know, like you guys are from England, I'm here in the States, and especially the accents. Like Richard tells me, oh, he loves British accent. I do too.
I do.
When I was there about a few years ago, when I went to that travels with Women Standing Strong, we had 9 women that came from the U.S. When I first heard Danny, I told him, Danny. Slow down when you talk. I want to talk like you, you know. I want to bring it back to the States. I just love that accent. And here again, I'm talking about diversity, right? Everybody's different. Everybody is different to speak. You know, God gave us the rhema words to speak, and it's just different style, different form. But yet, it's so beautiful because at the end, you know, it just comes together, right? Like Richard was sitting here listening to Rebecca and also from Jason. He says, wow, they kind of have the same theme, what they're talking about. Again, but it's said in a different shape or form. This is the diversity part of it. And it's really beautiful. I mean, hey, I was born in the Philippines, right? I left when I was 11, but I grew up in the States. I'm very westernized, just like Richard. He was born in Burma, but he left when he was 6 years old.
Yes.
Yeah, but he grew up in the States, very Americanized, this guy. The way he speaks, you would never think he's Chinese, right? And you just get blown away. And I go, is this guy real or what? You know, so, yeah, I was just thinking of right now, like, you know, when most of us had the class of Power for Abundant Living class, right? And one of the sessions said the three R's, which is receive, retain, and release, right? So now, just thinking, and I know I talked about this maybe a year ago, as I got hooked up with Lauren's ministry, I learned even more. Remember, Dr. Werwolf said on the PFAL class, at the end of the class, he said, you know, I just scratched the surface. Yes, I've done major research. However, you guys can take this on your own forever. And sure enough, there was a lot of, you know, people went on their own kind of a thing. And yes, because of that, there's division. But one thing I know, our like-mindedness is we all love God and we love to fellowship. So that's our commonality at this point. We may display it or manifest it in different matters. But for me personally, I know that I'm walking, oh my God, more perfect and beautiful way walking with God. I knew it was always a relationship, but when I was in a different ministry then, I did not realize that I was in a bondage. You know, I was imprisoned in my own fellowship. And then it broke loose. Yeah, I went through the divorce. I moved from California to Oregon, right? And how did I even think Eugene, Oregon? When I was in California trying to think, okay, God, I want a new chapter in my life. I'm divorced now. I want something new. I said, can I please move? And when I asked God, I was very specific. I said, I'm moving to Eugene, Oregon. Oh, my God, I got the green light, right? So here I am. I've been here like 4 years, maybe going on 5. It's funny because when I first met with Richard, it was just like this acquaintance kind of meeting because I found out he's an ex-cop. I actually got this citation, right? So I was going to ask him how to go about it and all of that. So I asked him for his phone number, but I met him at Costco. This guy, man, he had a mission. Every time he shops, I've seen him like 6 months ago. He's got his card. He doesn't look to the left or to the right. Talking about somebody who's focused. Oh, aisle 302. Boom, I'll go get the bread. He doesn't even move his head, right? Very focused. It's so funny. I stopped him. I was sampling what's called dill pickle chips, whatever it was. I really kind of forced him. I said, sir, would you like to sample? In his mind is no, right? But I forced him because he's thinking, dill pickle, I don't want to taste this for the next 2-3 hours. It's okay, sir, the water fountain, I'm thinking, is there, you can wash it off. But he did it, and from that time, you know, God said, this is your cue, Ethel. Just ask him for his phone number and ask about your citation thing, right? So that one day we met at a place called Pump Cafe. It's a little cafe down the street. And so we met, and when I came out of the car, he did not even recognize me. Who the hell is this chick coming out of this car? Because he's thinking, he knows me by my apron, my bonnet, you know, my uniform from Costco. So maybe he was blown away. I don't know. He opened the door for me and he pulled the chair on the table. And the thought of just having coffee, you know, I said I was going to treat him and buy him coffee. And that's all the money I had that too. And I said, and then he goes, we saw the menu, he goes, why don't you order something? I said, oh, shit, that means I have to buy him lunch now. Yeah. But you know, he's very gentleman. Of course, he'll pay for it, right? So he busts out his wallet. Oh, my God, you guys. All I saw, and I wasn't looking. All I saw was cash in there. And, you know, he tips really big. But anyway, all said and done. It did kind of become a date because, you know, the 15-minute we were anticipating to get together for just coffee, he said, oh, just order something. I said, she's giving me an option. Maybe I'll go order a big fat hamburger.
And she did.
And I did. I said, my excuse to the waitress was, I'm going to share with him. Okay. So I did, and that was a great experience. I was sitting there just really blown away by this man because I I got to know him the next 2 hours, and I really saw the pureness and goodness and kindness of his heart. I'm not just talking because he's next to me, but you know, I was praying to God at some point, Father, you know, yeah, you could give me another husband, but it's your timing, right? So I made my list by requesting. Wow, 3 years later, I still don't have any guy in my life, right? So I said, Father, I'm just checking in on you. It's been 3 years. Is it because my list is getting longer, right? And so, oh, shit, I better not do that. Trying to be not God Junior, right? I mean, we are here as his mouthpiece. We are his representative, and we are his ambassadors. We're just talkers. You know what? It's God who's the heart nudger and the heart changer. Okay, he's the one who's going to make things move. And I said, I try not to take over, right? But sometimes, okay, God, you're taking too long. But I told Richard, every time you pray, you request something, already confess it. This is what they're doing in India and Nepal. As they request it to God, they know it's already come to pass. Okay, that's the kind of believing we should have, right? So anyway, going back to the three R's, it came to my mind, we receive, retain, and then release, right? And then the fourth R, which I've added on, is run with it. I don't mean like run away with what you already have, but run with it. This is what they do in India and Nepal, so it's very effective. I mean, they're illiterate, right? They don't... they can't read the Bible, but whatever senses they have left, the sightseeing, the eyes, the hearing, the feeling, you know, they see the testimonies. Man, you just go for it. Like Sangit and Lauren says, you just begin. I mean, where are you going to start, right? You just begin. Don't overthink the damn thing, okay? You analyze it too much, you get paralyzed in your thinking. Really, I think that's why... Here in the Western world, U.S., U.K., we're a little bit slower than say, U.S., I mean, Nepal and India, because, you know, they're gutsy, man. They're fierce. They run with it, with the word. And when they run with it, be prepared, because when God is working with you, he's going to do stuff for you. God moves very swiftly. So be prepared. That's how God is. And, you know, we should really have this kind of mindset, mentality here in the Western world, U.S. and U.K., that, you know what, just do it. Like the Nike commercial says, just do it, right? You just begin. Don't dilly-dally, because it's not going to get you anywhere. The more you dilly-dally, you're postponing it. Why? Just do it. And that's where it all happens. You know, you want results? You want fruit in your life? Just begin. You want those results, right? Like for me, I know I've experienced that. Once I started really, really moving with God, man, laborers can pop like popcorn, you know? But of course, I request, Father, give me the hot ones, just like me. I want a mini-me who's committed, is passionate for you, just like Lawrence, and each and every one of you here. You're very passionate about God. And once you're passionate too, you won't budge. You're not going to go to the left and to the right. And why do that? It's just going to get watered down. Then you get confused. And like Lawrence was talking about a while ago, you know, that's fine. You'll have friends, ministry friends or believer friends. But, you know, ultimately, it's your relationship with your Heavenly Father, right? It's a one-on-one relationship. And that's the beauty of it. He's like my buddy, okay? Okay, Father, here's what I'm praying about. And when you do, you let go and let God, man, the peace that you have, the peace... It's in Colossians 3:15, right? He talks about, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, you know? And then be anxious for nothing. Don't stress over it, because you've already given it to him. It's God's headache, okay? So now I'm at peace. Be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46:10 says. And the word stillness is peacefulness too. And in the midst of being peaceful, have joy. Richard and I was talking about what's the difference between joyfulness and happiness. And I said, well, according to the words, what I've learned, right? Happiness is superficial. It's temporary. It's just right there at that time in that moment. But joy is 24/7. It lives within. And, you know, you got to have that kind of an attitude. And to start with, have a attitude gratitude, right? And this is what I saw in Richard when we first met. Wow, attitude. And he said to me, you know, Ethel, I'm the most content person there is. And very humbled the way he said it, too. And I'm at peace. And I love to give, like, you know, like Monday to Friday, he volunteers at the senior center. So it just so happened that also Thursdays at the mission, it just so happened that on his way home, he surprised and came by. He actually texted me and I was showering. And then he said, I just want to hear testimonies. Okay, that's good. That's a start. And I looked at him like, no, I'll do it when I'm ready. Okay, I didn't say anything. I'm not twisting your arm. And that's the way it should be. You have to come to full submission with God. When your heart and your mind is locked in, like I say, locked in, those two, then you're ready. And my prayerfulness is each time, whether it's Zoom, I'm praying or whatever, I ask God, you know, to prepare my heart. I really stress that enough. Because you're preparing your heart is also part of cultivating it and nurturing it. And that's part of the stewardship, right? What Lawrence has been sharing about the stewardship. And God has entrusted you, right, with your walk with him. Therefore, take care of it. Take care of it by nourishing it, cultivating it, that type of thing. And once you do that, you know, it's a lifetime change. It's funny because, like, when I'm at Costco, one of my sales pitches, sir, ma'am, life-changing chips. I know it's dill pickle, whatever. So they turn around, they get forced to taste it. And I said, life-changing, right? Where is this stuff? I swear, you guys, they buy by the cases, okay? Good for me. I mean, my supervisor should reward me with something. But, yes, I can honestly say it. I'm not bragging. I'm boasting. I'm one of the top salesmen. You know why? Part of that is I just smile, nonverbal communication. And that part is my identification with Christ. I always tell you guys, in this world, there's so many people hurting, you know, and they need the deliverance. Richard asked me what deliverance. It is from God. Okay, he's anything and everything you give to him, right? And that's the only answer. Once you have God in your life, once you give it to him, it means everything. And the best part is, I've gone through so many challenges in my life. I'm now 65. I've gone through so many, right? But you know what I've learned, and I've told Richard this, is it's your one-on-one relationship with him. It's very personal. Like Richard's challenges or Marianne's challenges is different from mine. It's very personal. So we go to God in a personal level. And that's the beauty of that relationship. When I first started meeting Richard, you know, one day he said to his kids, hey, I've been talking to Ethel. Yeah? How many hours? So Ashley says, the daughter, 2 hours. He goes, no. The son-in-law says, 2.5. He said, no. He goes, 6 hours. What? What do you guys talk about? And we say, he just laughed and he says everything. And that's how you get to know the person, right? And it's amazing how we do have so much compatibility, because he's a man, I'm a woman, but I see him as the mini-me man's version. I swear when we're talking, stories, narrating, whatever, I'm thinking in my head, oh, I should respond this way. But he says the word. I'm like, what the heck, Richard? You can read my mind too? You know? But it's the beauty of that relationship. The same thing you should have relationship with your Heavenly Father. It's very personal. Just go to Him. Ask Him anything. Give Him something hard to do. Father, you know, blah, blah, blah. But remember, as you request, it's God's timing, the way He's going to answer you. And that says in the Word, Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, right? Long-suffering, patience, that sort of thing. Faithfulness, goodness, and self-temperance, for there is such no law. You know, I mean, you're free to do whatever. God gave you that free will. But again, that free will means you have to steward it. You have to go where the truth is. And where is it? I found it here. I'm not elevating Lawrence, no. I mean, he does have his ministry. You know what? You go to him, he'll say, go to God. Or he'll tell me something, counsel me about God. You know what? God is putting things in my mouth to tell you. And when he says that, oh shit, I better listen. Listen hard. Because those are rhema words that's coming out of his mouth. And Richard, you know, tells me all the time, wow, Lawrence is amazing because he is that guiding light in this platform, in this Zoom, or wherever, his ministry. But I'm not elevating him to where, oh my God, yeah, Lawrence, this and that. And he tells you, and he's very humbled by it. He'll say, yeah, I'm just here to minister. I'm here to build up. I'm here to encourage. Just like us, each and every one of us here, you guys, are leaders and ministers. And we have all our styles. Our shape and form is different. But that's, again, I go back to diversity. God made diversity because, you know, he wants different ones. But in the end, you know, we glorify God, right? That's the whole theme here. That's the whole thing. We glorify him. And in the midst of, you know, the glorification, as we walk, you stay humble, as Lauren says. Don't be arrogant, right? You stay meek. Meek, ready to receive. And then the best part, be obedient, child. And you know what? All the fundamentals that we have, staying connected, speaking tongues much, the perfect prayer, honoring your first fruits, pray for laborers, all of that. Just do, you know, do these fundamentals. Whether there's something going on, whether God has not yet answered your prayers or he has or whatever, it's okay. We keep going to God. And that's the beauty, because you don't want to get sidetracked or fall off the bandwagon, right? You just continue. And that's the beauty of walking with God. I'm so liberated right now, you guys, because the way I'm walking, it's the most perfect and excellent way. Nobody twists my arm. And you know, Richard always reminds me, look at you. You're so passionate about God. And yeah, and you know what? I will not budge. That's why Lawrence calls me his twin, because I'm exactly like him, but not just the beard. You know, I don't have that beard. I think we're starting more and more to look alike. Same father, right? But it's an amazing walk. And, you know, I'm just really blessed that I got connected with him. I mean, I've been there to UK, and that was maybe 3-4 years ago. And they took us around, you know, they were our hosts and everything. And at that time, man, God was really working in me. I mean, so many things happened in that trip. I was in a room, in a hotel roommate, that I cast the devil spirits out. That was the first time. I'm like, what the F is going on here? You know, I mean, I was up all night. She was my roommate, casting out devil spirits, right? I mean, it was one thing after another. I didn't know exactly these tormenting spirits. But just God gave me the green light, the revelation. Okay, right now, you get out. Tormenting spirits, the spirit of jealousy. Get out. You know, like casting him out all night. It would be cast out, and then he'd come back again. Oh, shit, what do I do now, right? Just put like when Richard is trying to arrest people, you have two options. Either you go to jail or you tell what I tell you, whatever, and you have 10 seconds. But, you know, when you're laboring for God, man, he puts you in a position, especially casting out devil spirits. Oh, my God, God, I have to keep up with you. Okay, what else? What else do I cast out? And then it comes to you, you know. God gives you that revelation. Here's another tormenting spirit. I mean, when we were first in Nepal, at Shelley, we were at our first fellowship. I believe it was not Pokhara, Kathmandu maybe. There was this spirit that was lurking around every church. So he came to the fellowship and went to this believer and they're devil spirits. So it's like exorcism, you know, it's like, yeah, whatever. But to them in fellowship, this is regular. So us American believers were like, what the hell is going on? But you know, the thing is, it was part of our learning. Okay? Because we don't see it here in the US or the UK all the time. But for them, it's regular. Right? It's a regular thing that, oh, another devil spirit came in to visit. What do? They just cast it out. It's so easy for them. Get out. Like that. I command you to go, devil spirit. And they leave. You know, they just came to say hi and rattle people. But for us, it was like, oh my God, like it's the end of the world. But again, that was a learning process for us, you know, and we've seen many great and mighty things that God showed us. It's great. Mary Ann Wade, I am so happy for you and blessed you're going to Nepal. And that was a year ago when I was there, you know. It just seems like that's a blink of an eye, 1 year ago. And it was a great experience. It's something that I will take for the rest of my life, and I will apply and bring it here to my home. Jeez, if Nepalese believers, Indian believers can do it, why not us? You know, what's holding us back? You're still thinking about it? You're still assimilating and pondering? Let it go, man. Just do it. Just begin. And that's what I'm doing, like, with my Zoom fellowship. I may not have a lot of people there, but you know what? It's a start. Some people come and then they go, but it's God who's going to nudge their hearts. Again, you know, like, God has prepared my heart. He nudged my heart, then my thinking. I locked it in, and boy, what a beautiful locking in, right? Then you know, that your walk is the most perfect and excellent way. I am just blown away by God, you guys. He's tickling me left and right. And the fruit that I'm seeing in my life, it's amazing. And that's the evidence, right? Lawrence will tell you, okay, that's fine. You're an old paradigm fellowship. You do research. Yeah, it's all knowledge and understanding. That's great. But it is when you manifest it, when you practice it. It's all in the book of Acts. Practice it. That's when the word of God comes alive. So I'm very blessed, you guys. Continue. That's my exhortation, my encouragement, to look to God, no matter what the situation is. Whether right now it's all silent, or maybe things are just starting to pick up, or this, that, and the other. You just continue. Because it's part of the growth. It's part of your stewardship to take care of it, cultivate it, nourishing it, because, you know, you found a place where you found the truth. Stay there. Don't go anywhere else. I'm telling you, you're going to get confused. And you know what? God is not a God of confusion, right? God is the God of encouragement, God of love. I mean, Galatians 5:22. What does it say in that verse first? Love. I'll go to 2 Timothy 1:7. But God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Again, he mentioned love there. Power. Soundness of mind. There's a lot of crazy people in this world, right? And they get prescription. What are they on? Prozac. Some antidepressant. That tells us what kind of society that we're in, okay? We don't need that shit, right? Excuse my language. We don't need that because we have God's pill. His pills are peace, joy, right? All of that. We don't have to take a medication for that. Anyway, when you do take the meds, it's just temporary. But you want this ongoing, long term, not just on that spot. This day, I'm taking this med to calm me down. But that's just it. It's just for the day. The next day, if you miss it, what happens? You're back to your old self again. That's why people get trapped. Depression, anxiousness, blah, blah, blah. This is the world. Our job is to let them know who God is. Let them get drawn to God or perhaps reconcile them back to God, depending on what stage of walk that they're in, right? So I exhort you, I encourage you guys, keep going. It's the best thing ever. And I keep going. I'm very passionate. I'm not going to budge. Because this is what I know. And if I go the other way, there's nothing there. If I go God's way, it's life more than abundant, exceedingly abundantly, above all that we ask or think, right? How good is God? God is so loving. I just love that. And in this world, people need love. You know, like Richard just came from his mission, a volunteer today. And I go, oh, how was it, sweetheart? You know, and he says, they're all depressed. Right, Richard? Well, I don't know what else they're on.
There's a lot of challenges right now. These are prior homeless people. So we're trying to get assimilated back to society. It's a tough obstacle there. I can see it in their face, and also they're very, very low in self-esteem, if any at all. So it's going to be a tough ride back, you know. There's going to be some successes, but there'll be some failures. But, you know, at least in the beginning, that's the most important part, the beginning. Yeah, they begin to get back, like what Ethel's saying, to get back into society at some point in life. I don't know when. Some people need a little more help, so everybody's timeline is a little different. But I do see it, and they're trying. So they're trying. I'm giving my best shot and trying to help them along, you know, trying the best I can to serve. So.
Wow. Thank you, Richard. You know, this guy was an ex-cop, so he still has it in him. You know, the service. I mean, when he tells me cop stories, he'll talk about he doesn't really arrest people, or he gives them chances, which is he's a nice policeman, actually. Well, if I get caught, I hope you're the policeman, because he's not really going to give you a citation unless you disrespect him, you spit on his face or whatever, right? But no, he's very lenient. Yeah?
Well, I always look at police work more than education.
Mm.
So it's case by case, but you know, go with the verbal, you know, and talk to them about life and about what they did. But definitely, if I kind of get the inkling that they're not going to learn, well, you know, we now need to step it up a little bit. So I got to teach them some education about
a
lesson about you know, the law, and that, you know, they have to follow the rules.
Did you take them to prison?
To jail. I have to when I have to. You know, that's part of the duties. But it's not – I don't find any glory in it. But, you know, that's what my job is sometimes. So, you know, you do what's best.
Mm-hmm. You know, that reminds me, just like Jesus Christ and his disciples, right? The 12 disciples was the closest one to him. Those were his 12 laborers. When he was here on earth, what did they do? They didn't have any formal classes, right? And Jesus Christ woke up each morning and said, Father, what have you want me to do? He just got direction from his Father. And then he told his laborers, the 12, okay, we're going to go from town to town, from village to village, to spread the good news. Wow, what good news, okay? But again, Jesus Christ is up there now, right, seated at the right hand with the Father. But before he left, you know, he said to his disciples, here, let me pass the baton, because you'll be little Jesus Christ's here on earth while I'm gone. But I'll be back. And when that time comes, man, you'll be the Lord of lords and kings of kings, right? And we will have that perfect body. And today's another day closer to the return. And, you know, it's so exciting because we have the hope. And granted, it will happen in this lifetime, maybe another or whatever. But it's a beautiful thing because we have that hope. And I told Richard, I'm not afraid to die if I'm going to die in this lifetime. It's just the people I'll leave behind. But I know I'll wake up again. I know when I do wake up, I'll have a perfect body. Imagine that. Oh, my God, I can drink all the Coke Zero and the popcorn and chips that I want, right, and not gain an ounce. And I'll probably walk in the streets of the gold. And I'll be just like a size zero. No, just kidding, you guys. I still put humor. Yeah. So anyway, that's my sharing. Twat, twat, twat. Thank you, Richard. He said he wasn't going to say anything, but bless his heart, you know. Oh, did you want
to? Oh, it's my thank you. Very happy to speak to all you guys.
Mm. Hey, Jace.
Wow. Hey, Apple. Did you mean to say that when you're in heaven, nobody will be able to see you?
I don't know. You can come visit me. But you might have...
How can I if I can't see you? If you're size zero, nobody's going to see you, are they?
I know. Well, you might be a size two.
You never know.
He already is.
You never know.
Yeah, I already am.
Yeah. Well, tell Lawrence he can have the curry all he wants and fish and chips and not gain an ounce. He doesn't have to be in a diet.
I'll have plenty of curry, please. Thank you.
Curry and curry.
Right? Matcha.
Bless you, guys. Bless you, Richard. Bless you, Apple.
Bless you, Richard.
Better
move
it along now.
Time's
going.
Love you, guys.
We're going to move on. Thank you very much. And we're coming back across the Atlantic to the town of Marie Carroll. To share next, please. Ireland. Let's hear from Ireland tonight.
Hey, guys.
Hey,
God bless you all in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. And
you too, sister.
What a joy and a privilege it is to be back on, and wow, what a fellowship, what a joy divine. I mean, everybody sharing tonight has been absolutely edifying and beautiful. And I am so, so thankful to God, number one. I am thankful for my wonderful ministers, Lawrence and Kim. And for you all, guys, and Mary Wade, thank you so much for speaking in tongues for me. And thank you for ministering to me. My back, my lower back is completely healed. And I am so thankful and so elated. I feel like I'm walking on air, to be honest. And it's just, God is just amazing, and he is in the business of healing and delivering us from whatever ailment we have in our minds, in our physical bodies. And, you know, Mary, you were sharing with me before we all jumped on Zoom about my mom with her eyes. She will get healed. There's no doubt about that, because Jesus went about healing the sick. And, you know, I know, Lawrence, on your trips to India and Nepal, wow, like the testimonies that I have heard from you guys have been just like mind blowing. And you know, I share those with Mom, and I know she will get delivered because she believes as well. And, you know, right now I just feel a weight has been lifted off my shoulders. And that's to be honest. And I just feel really at ease, really at peace. Because things for a while had not been good. However, thank the good God, our Heavenly Father, how he can pull you out of the muck and the mire and just catapult you into a state of just absolute peace, soundness, and whatever you ask in the name of Jesus, excuse me, God will give. And it's so true what I was listening to Danny and Amber, you know, because I went through that phase of like, hold on, I'm just going to take a sip of water. I went to that phase of listening to YouTube and these mega churches, and I did, honestly, for a while, but this fellowship here is the one where God has planted me in, because it's precious, it's true, it's God-led, it is, you know, we say what we want, not what we see. You know, it's a fellowship where I get so edified and so built up, and it gives me a confidence and a boldness, you know, to go out there and have that boldness to just minister to people and not give a crap what anybody else thinks. Because I was so like that for a long, long time. Because I listened to a lot of bullshit, to be honest. And no, not anymore. I'm out there to glorify God, and it is God in Christ in us, and he will give you every desire of your heart as you go to him. And you know what? He'll never let you down, because he's our daddy God. He is our Abba Father. And imagine, we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. Like, what a privilege. It doesn't get any better than that. You know, you won't find true peace and true happiness in drugs, in drink, in excessiveness, in this, that, and the other. No, you'll find your true peace in God, God Almighty, our Abba Father. And he loves us so much, and he would never, ever put us in a situation we could not handle. And yes, I've been through a lot of mental torture, but God delivered me, and he has set me free. And I have never felt so happy about myself. You know, just not just in my mind, that's totally healed, but even in the way I look, like I always felt, oh God, I'm like a plus size, I'm not this, I'm not that. And I'm like, no, enough bullshit from the devil, you know? That's all he can fire at you, is these little darts, but they bounce right off us, because we are beautiful, and it's so important. And I've been doing it for quite some time now, waking up in those mornings and having the I Am confessions. That is really great. That really builds me up a lot. And confessing who you are in Christ, and getting yourself set up for the day by speaking in tongues, doing your affirmations, and just really, you know, seeking, like, basically what I'm trying to say is, when I get up in the mornings, I'm like, okay, God, I dedicate this day. Like, you tell me what to do, where to go, what to say. I know I've got a full-time job, but I incorporate that into what I want God what I want for God to do in my life. And it's great. I feel a confidence and a boldness. It's like I got to, even in the office today, I got to share with a member of staff, and she was blown away, you know. And, you know, each and every morning, I just want to get up there, get out there and do something that brings glory to God, you know, not me, but glory to God. And, yeah, it's great. I mean, even last weekend, I had my, I had my nieces down from Dublin. I live in Tipperary, which is the south of the island, and my brother and his partner and kids live in Dublin, the capital, which is on the east coast. And, you know, I really got to, like, Aoife's only six, and, but she's a very spiritual kid. And it's great because, you know, I was like in pain. I'm like, Aoife, you've got to like minister to me because I have been building her up in that sort of way. So I had a pain in my joint, and she said to me, they call me Auntie Mosey. So she said, Auntie Mosey, I'm praying for you now. But then she laid hands on me. And I'm like, just speak by the Spirit of God, Aoife. And like, this kid is only six. And I just guided her into what to do. And she, like, she was just led by the Spirit. And she ministered to me. And I got healed. And she's only 6 years of age. And that's what I want. I want to see many laborers. I want to really get down to it. I've been like talking to God, and I'm like, God, what do you want me to do? Hold on, just taking a drink of water. I'm like, God, I would love just to leave the secular job, excuse me, and just get out there and go traveling with Lawrence to the likes of, excuse me, India, Nepal, the UK, Europe, America. I really would love that. And I know it's going to happen. I really do, because God is in the business of giving. And he's an all-benevolence God. And I'm just done with people pleasing in this world. I really want to work for God, and I would really desire just to have that freedom to travel with Lawrence. It would be an absolute joy and a blessing, and I know it will happen, and I know that God will, like, you know, give me the finances to be able to travel. You know, I mean, it's just what I really desire. And then to come back from our trips and be able to share with people and witness to people, and it really is a desire in my heart right now, because I had a good chat with God the other day, and that's what I said. I said, Abba Father, I want to be in a position where I don't have to work a secular job, but to travel with Lawrence to many places, and Kim obviously as well, and be able to witness to people, to, you know, I've been to Uganda, I've seen many miracles and wonders over there. That was an amazing trip. Like, I mean, I saw people that were paralyzed getting up out of their wheelchairs and walking. That was absolutely brilliant. you know, and I've witnessed it. Even in Uganda again, like there was a lot of witchery over there. However, we were able to deliver those that were possessed by the demon witch, and we cast that out of her. And I actually went to Uganda with a few American people, and you know, Robert and Miguel, they were absolutely brilliant, and the lovely Amos that drove us around, our guide. And you know, when we cast that devil spirit out of that woman, she, like, when I first met her, she looked about, honest to God, 110 years old. She was, her hair was all over the place. And she came to us. She wanted to be delivered. And it happened. It really did happen. And the transformation, once we laid hands on her and casted out that devil's spirit of witchery, my God, you know, her whole face just transformed into light, into absolute light, because she was set free from the devil, you know. And that in itself was amazing. And she came up to us and she was on her all fours, and you know, she was saying, thank you so much, and you're special people. But we were like, no, it's God. It's God that delivered you. And you know what? And Fred Davenport would be there to witness that as well. We got her speaking in tongues, which was absolutely brilliant. After we casted that out, we got her speaking in tongues. And I honestly know right now that she is completely set free and did not fall back into the pit of the devil. You know, there is so much work that we can do, you know, and I'm excited and I'm elated that I got my groove back and that reconnected, which is great. And I'm just so blessed right now, so thankful right now, and so at ease and so at peace. And, you know, I just can't wait to go back to India. And I've never been to Nepal, so that's going to happen too. I really do believe that, because it's a desire of my heart. And I am just so thankful for each and every one of you. You're all beautiful here on our little Zoom family group. It's precious to me, and I know I disconnected for a while. However, I am just so blessed right now and so thankful. And I've gotten back into speaking in tongues much, which I did for a while now. In the last 2 weeks, I get that time to speak in tongues, and wow, it was just amazing. And I love you all. You are God's best, and I just look forward to seeing you all face to face. And definitely Mary, South Carolina, cannot wait. That's on my list. And I'm just going to kick back now and listen to the rest of tonight, and be anxious for nothing. God is in control, and he would never put you in a situation you could not handle. And God loves you all so much, and I love you guys so much. So good night, God bless, I love you.
Well, thank you very much, Marie, and great testimony of Uganda. And, it's who we are. It's who we are. It's what we do. We're afraid of nothing. So,
amen. Yeah, that's true, and, Jason. Yeah,
And you know that the more committed we are,
yeah,
the more we're going to see the things happen on our own streets. So,
yeah,
faithful and commitment. Anyway, great sharing. Thank you very much for that. And
thank you, Jason.
God bless your heart.
Love you.
So, next, Mary, would you share, please, sister? We're going back across the Atlantic.
You want me?
Write your words, whatever God's putting in your heart.
Okay.
Yeah.
You want me, not ML, right?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, Mary Reed. Okay.
I just want to make sure.
Sorry.
God bless everyone. Thank you, Jason.
And, God bless you, Mary.
God bless you too, my brother. Well, it's been a good night, and been blessed by fellowship and by everyone's beautiful heart and desire to walk with God. And I'm just, for me, I'm just resolved in my heart to walk with God, to focus on God, to do the things that I know that are the right things to do, the right way to think, the right way to act, the right way to speak. And it's really very plain. It's not obscure. You know, God makes it very clear and has made it very clear what the way that he would like for us to live, because it's kind of like in Deuteronomy where he says, choose life. This is our life. That's the things that we do tend to life and not to death. and life and peace and blessing. And if we just stay in those things, those simple things that we know are the right things to do, then we'll be okay. You know, we'll be blessed and we'll be pleasing to God. Our lives will be pleasing to God. And I know that it's hard sometimes. I know that you know, each one of us face things that are challenging to us personally. But we have a God that knows this. We have a God that knows our hearts and knows the things that challenge us and trip us up. And he knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. He says that in Scripture. You know, he knows how to deliver us. And we can have confidence in our God and our Father that he will not only see us, but help us. God is our refuge. He's our strength. He's a very present help in trouble. Very present. He's right there. He's closer than your very breath. And he's placed his spirit within all of us. And that spirit is the power in our lives. It's the delivering force in our lives. And it's what we operate to speak by the Spirit and act by the Spirit of God so that other people can experience the great deliverance from God. And he is just at the ready. God is always at the ready to deliver us, to bless us, to move us forward, to keep us moving forward and not falling backward. And we can rely on God for these things. And you know, that's basically the simple life that we have, and that's what's really been on my heart. And also, you know, we don't seek to please men, and we don't have to worry about whether we're being pleasing to other people, or whether we're being acceptable to other people. You know, we don't have to concern ourselves with that, because you know what? When your life is pleasing to God, and when you're doing the things that you know, and you're solid in your heart about that, those are the things that God wants you to do, then the people will come into your life that are blessed by that kind of walk. And the people that aren't blessed by the things that you do, they'll just fall away, see? And so you don't have to even be concerned with other people. And, you know, the things that are deeply, deeply within your heart, those are the things that God cares about. You know, He cares about every aspect of your life. And there's not a single thing in your life that God's not wanting to be involved with. Because every aspect of your life, if it's spiritual, if it's mental, if it's physical, if it's emotional, every aspect of our life, our soul life, our spiritual life, you know, our physical body life, he's concerned with every single detail of your life. And not only is he concerned with it, but he has the ability to make it the best that it can possibly be. And so, you know, we don't even have to worry about anything that's going on in the world or any news story that pops up or that somebody brings to your mind, you know, because I don't watch the news. And, you know, usually I get it through my husband who, you know, said, did you hear about such and such, you know, and I just, you know, I'm just not concerned with that stuff. And I, you know, every time I hear something, I just tell my husband, you know, well, you know, God's got that in hand. God is taking care of every aspect. And you see, because there are things that God has shown me all this year from the first time when he told me to come and check out Lawrence's website again. You know, there, from that moment on, there's been things that have been real solid in my heart that God has solidified, not me, but God has solidified for me. But I had, at least I can say I had the good sense to finally listen and say, okay, I'll do that. You know, I'll go forward with this. You know, and so many times it's just been a quiet thing. Like Ethel talks about, you know, the heart nudger. You know, God's not he doesn't shove things at you. He's a good God and he's a gentle God. He's a clear God and he will tell you things to do. And maybe it's not this, you know, big thing where, like with Paul, where, you know, he had this bright light and there was, you know, all this crazy stuff happening, or the, you know, in the book of Acts when he first gave the Holy Spirit to the apostles, you know, and there was, you know, some phenomenons going on there and everything. Maybe that's not the way God works. You know, God normally works that way. He can work that way, but it's as he chooses to work that way. But most of the time, it's just him telling you in a gentle way, you know, go this way, go that way, think this way, think that way. Or he'll bring somebody into your life and heart, and that person will say just the right thing, and it will resonate with you. Or you'll go to the, you know, the Grace, Love, and Truth website, and God will lead you toward a certain teaching, and that teaching will be exactly what you need to hear. You know, God works in all different kinds of ways, but the thing that I want to say is just to be confident in God. Be confident that you can hear from God. Confess that. I can hear from God. I hear God speak to me. I know my Father's voice and the voice of the stranger I will not follow. Confess that. And know that God does work in you. He does labor together with you. He does work in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. And we just follow. We just follow our Heavenly Father. We do the things that he tells us to do, that he prompts us to do. And if in anything we're otherwise minded, he will let us know. And so we can rest in this and we can have confidence in our God. And, You know, if things are quiet, well, praise God that things are a little quiet. You know, this gives me an opportunity to really practice and focus on the fundamental things, the things that are that rock solid foundation, like Danny was saying earlier. You know, we build our house upon a rock, upon the things that we know are true and the things that we know that God wants us to do. And that is our rock that we stand on, and nothing can shake us when we're going forward with speaking in tongues much. Let's just say them. Speaking in tongues much, speaking and living by the Spirit of God. Praying for laborers, beseeching the Lord of the harvest for the ready laborers in the harvest ready fields. And, you know, connecting with each other, connecting with God. And then our one-on-ones with our ministers, whoever is your minister, you know, Lawrence or Kim or both, whatever, you know that God will work that in your heart. And then, just knowing that God is your Father, just knowing that he is working within you to will and to do of his good pleasure. Those are the things that are important. And, I'm just a very practical person, and I love this. I love that God gives us these wonderful works to do, these wonderful, they're so simple, and they seem like they wouldn't have a great impact. But when you start doing them, you know, honoring God, you know, when you do these things, they have a tremendous impact. They have a tremendous impact on your life and on the lives of the people that you touch as you do these actions. Because everything is by God. Everything is of God, and it is directed by God. And when you have a God-directed life and a God-directed focus in your life, there's no way that you can't that you can lose. There's no way that you cannot win. You can triumph in Christ by doing these things. And you know, there's a purpose, just like with vision, having vision. You know, God doesn't give visions haphazardly, or as Lawrence once said, just to entertain, you know, just to kind of titillate us or entertain our minds. You know, there's a much deeper purpose. And, you know, everything that you do, you just have to believe that it has a great impact. It has a world-changing impact. It has life-changing impact whenever you do the will of God. So be encouraged by that. Every time, don't be thinking about what you're not doing. Don't be thinking about how you're missing the beat here or you're missing the beat there. Just do the things that you know to do. And when you do something and you know that it's God-directed, you can be blessed in that and be thankful that you had the opportunity to walk with God and do the things of God, and give yourself some credit, you know, that you made the decision. You made the decision, and it might have been a tough decision. You might have wanted to go a different way. But because you made the decision to go with God, you can have a great expectation and hope that God will not consider that a vain act. No, he will honor that, and he is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love and your labor to obey him. And he will greatly bless you. He will greatly bless those around you. And you can have a great expectation and hope in your God, because he will never fail you, and he will never forsake you. He will never leave you hanging. He will never leave you disappointed. Just keep going forward, and don't be weary in well-doing, because in due season you will reap, as long as you just keep going forward. And don't let the past drag you back. And if it starts to drag you back and you have a stumble, it's okay. It's okay. Because obedience is just one step away. You can turn it around just in one thought, in one step, in one action. You can turn it back around and you'll be walking strong again. So be encouraged by that. And I love you very much. And I'm there with you. I'm living this life with you. And none of us are perfect. None of us are perfect. Only God is perfect. But God can work a perfect work in you. He is concerned with our perfection, and he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's given us the ability to be perfect and to walk perfectly, and we're just practicing that. We're just practicing doing that. And the more you practice it, the better you get at it. So God bless everybody. I love you.
Oh, God bless you, Mary. Wonderful words. Thank you very much for the encouragement. We all need it, and iron sharpens iron. So thank you very much for speaking what God's putting in your heart. So we're going to have to sail back across the Atlantic again to France and ask our brother Funk to share these. Bonjour, Funk. Are you there, brother?
I'm here. God bless you.
Oui, oui, poo-poo, papa, pee?
Yeah. Thank you. Yes, I'm very blessed to listen to each one of you. And
you're a bit quiet, Frank. You sound distant.
Yes, I don't know what I'm going to parameter audio. Bring the sortie. Now, no. Is it better? I don't know.
Yes, that's a bit better.
Okay, then. That is
thank
good.
You. Yeah.
Good. Yes, God is good, and I receive encouragement to the sharing of each one of you, and I know that God is really working. And I remember in the Psalm where it says that God is among us, and he is speaking among the people of God. And as it was shared at the beginning, you know, we do not see according to the flesh, you know, those who speak, you know, it's not like it's the flesh that is speaking, but it is the Spirit of God that is speaking, and it makes echo in our life, and we can recognize, as Mary was saying, and we can recognize the voice of God, you know, when we can be like encouraged or corrected by God, by his love, because he wants the best for us, and he has great plan for our lives. He has a plans of peace and of blessings, and something that is above our understanding, above our conception, because the thought of God are greater than our thought. And we could want for ourselves, but in fact, God said that we shouldn't rely on our wisdom. That's why what we are looking for is outside of us. And I mean, it's like a spiritual, but it's like. We are searching for something more clever than us, more knowing than us, and for sure it is God. Yes. God is showing us the way through this fellowship, and time is short. I listen to it. Time is short, and we can see about what's the plan of the world is is ready for future events that we know that are going to come, but we have the confidence that God is going to not to make us live these difficult events in the world, and we just continue to look only to God. I remember one of the first sharing teaching from Sangat was look only to God, and these words really liberated me, make me free, because I decided to really consider God and not man. And it was really a step of liberty, of freedom. Not that I just stay alone, but God has also to provide those, you know, who connect, who go the same way and, you know, can lead us to more. And these words were very, very liberating. And I remember also when the first time I listened to a Sangat, you know, it was like a refreshing time. And it continues, you know, God opened doors of prosperity, of changing, of, you know, things that I could not produce by myself or do by myself. And yes, I used to declare words from God and making this effort. And I speak about productivity, creativity, wisdom, love, strength, multiplication, increase also. It's all from God. All that is from God. When, you know, the world is saying crisis, it's a lie. There is no crisis. It's really a lie. God is always, you know, multiplying. As you can see on a tree, you know, fruits are multiplying, seeds are multiplying. And this is the same for us. And we are multiplying in what we are doing with God. And it was said in during this fellowship that God is going to make the increase, the multiplication, and I really believe it. I'm taking it like the will of God, and that God is saying that, and He is going to do that for us, because we know the direction, we know the words, the thought of it. And we can say it, and yes, and it's a time to say it and to do it. And I listen to also action. There are action to take, and I'm thankful to God that He opened the door for these actions. And I see my life really prospering, you know, and I'm very thankful, prospering also with peace, you know, and there is, I was blessed because my neighbor, you know, and I, we were without a fence, and it's like perhaps 30 meters, 36 meters, and she did the fence. I asked her if she wanted I pay something for her with her. And she said, no, I do it, you know. It was like, you know, a blessing from God, because 36 meters is not free. But God is good, you know, and He will do the same for you. It won't be perhaps a fence, but it could be something that you will be a need for you, and God will provide it, and He's going to really provide it for you, because, you know, you hold fast, you just look only to God, you continue And also by grace, because God is a graceful God, and He is a provider, is a source of everything in our life, and we are also thankful to God. We are thankful to what He is doing and what He is going to do, and our attitude is really to be thankful, to be praising God and thanking God. Yes. Then that's all I'm going to share. I'm very thankful with the fellowship, and God is continuing to enlighten us and to show us the way. And yeah, thank you very much. Thank you, Jason, and thank you, Lawrence, Kim, and everyone. I continue to read, to listen to you, and thank you very much.
Bless you, Frank. Frank, Jason's going now. I don't know if he's gone. He might have already gone. Just 1 second, because I need to make sure this television don't switch off a sec. Here we go. That's fine. Great sharing, brother. Great sharing. And God works in your heart. And all is well. I think Jason's gone now. So anyway, thank you for sharing. And next, I would like to ask Pam Patterson, please. Mr. Pan, are you available, sir?
Yes, he's available.
Oh, Brenda! God bless you, darling.
Yes, absolutely, I'm available.
Take it away, me old chap. Twat.
Yes, you old cocker, you. Good for you. I'm in the school. I'm going to class with Lawrence. Lawrence is a good teacher, good instructor. Connecting's huge, by the way. And what I've been hearing during the fellowship is distractions. And coming back from our honeymoon and getting married, a lot of distractions, a lot of trying to put things together. And then I added a couple more in myself, which were crazy. I'm still dealing with two different phones. I have one phone. I changed phone service. I have one phone ring, and then the other phone I make calls on. One phone will do this. I still got them because I'm changing everything over. And, you know, there's a lot to change over. So, distractions can really get you off, but I haven't let it get me off. I've actually, enabled me to be at peace.
Oh, you take this.
All right. Okay. All right. Brandon punched me over here. Somebody call 911. Anyway, distractions, they're absolutely huge. And the connection actually helps you get back to where you need to be. And it's been said on here before, is like when you don't want to connect, or you don't feel like you connect, because my go-to mode is isolation. And it was great hearing Richard. Ethel Richard, he's got a great heart. I work with a lot of law enforcement officers, and there a bunch like him, but not the majority. You know, it would be more rough and tumble. You roll up on the scene and wrestle people in the front yard. Would be knocking them out, taking them to jail. So he's got a great heart. And that was great getting to see him and hear him share. And you guys are absolutely a cute couple. That was really great to see. So I was blessed to see him. Hopefully I'll get a chance to meet him one day. And so God is so good. It just, if we practice these things that we're getting taught. And again, they're not very hard. It's just practicing, you know, the speaking in tongues, the giving, the connecting. Those three are huge. You know, the confessions are huge. You know, all of that together, as you put all of that together, it builds a calmness in you. It builds up peace. It builds all that fruit from the Spirit of God. And I was reading, I don't want to pick one character. Obviously, Jesus Christ would be the character. Christ Jesus would be the main, if they said, hey, pick one. But Elijah, the prophet, is absolutely just spectacular. But the interesting thing is I was recently just, it was an audiobook, and the guy was talking about Elijah. And what it brought to me, you know, his teaching, because like people were talking about, you know, going to different places and here, you got to be able to separate truth from error. And that's what the Spirit of God has given us, the ability of discerning the spirits, separating truth from error, being able to figure out what's up, what's wrong, what's going on. Is something, you know, the room not right? What's up? And what was being taught was that where Elijah came from, basically, he was plowing the field. He was just like the rest of us, basically. And he wasn't like really even like Elijah was called, and Elijah was, you know, went and started following, and he followed Elijah. He just kept following him and following him and following him and following him, even to the point to where Elijah would say, hey, I'm going over here. And Elijah would say, no, you know, even on your death or even on whatever, I'm staying right here. And he would follow him. And then he had the guts to ask for a double portion of the Spirit. Now, you know, that's Old Testament. Think about this. We got greater than that. We got the finished work of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Double portion. I mean, it's great to hear, and it's great to see. And as I dug into the audiobook a little bit more, I never knew this one part, where on his deathbed, he was talking to the king, and he told the king to shoot an arrow out the window. And so he did it, and I forget whether he struck the bow or he struck another arrow. I forget. I don't know. But he did something. And he only did it three times. And on Elijah, the servant of Elijah, to his deathbed, he gave forth prophecy saying, and he was mad at the king. He said, if you would have struck it five or six times, that's how many times you would have defeated the Syrians. But since you've only struck it three times, you'll now only defeat the Syrians three times. And later on, that came to pass. So as soon as he got done saying that, he dies. And then it goes on to another subject, but it goes down a little bit further in the scripture. And it gets down to like, I think, 19 or 14 or somewhere around there, in 2 Kings 13. And it says, as they were burying Elijah, and I don't know who the guy was that was burying him, because I thought, you know, the Jews can't touch a dead body. So was it a Gentile? Was it a Jew that was given? You know, I don't know. I'm thinking one body. All these things that God is just filling me up with, you know, saying, hey, this guy's just like you, one body, but you're greater because you're back in the garden. Because it's God in Christ in you. And had the adversary not known, he would not have crucified Christ in you. You are walking like Christ. So you can command things as Mary did with Marie. And Marie was on my heart too, the last couple weeks. And I had sent a couple things out to a couple people on that recording thing. One of them was her. And it was just God showing, you know, why did I send it to her? Well, it's just, I'm letting God work within me, you know. I sent one to Ethel. I forget who else I sent it to. But anyway, just God. But this guy is burying Elijah. And they throw them in, and the Moabites come upon them as they buried them, right? And so they kill this guy that's burying him. Now you got to know there's more than one guy, right, burying the prophet, right? I mean, I would think it's not recorded, but I'm just thinking, you know, not one guy just drag him out and, you know, dig a hole or put him in a scapular or a cave or whatever they call that. And it would take more than one man to do that. But the Moabites came, and the one man they found that was there, I don't know what happened to the rest of them. They killed the one guy that was burying the prophet, Elijah. And they took him and threw him into the scapula. And as soon as his body, the dead guy that was burying him, touched the bones for the body of Elijah, he was revived to life again, resurrected, and stood on his feet. And it doesn't say anything else about the Moabites, because you can imagine what they must have been thinking. Like, holy crap, man, we killed the wrong guy, you know, because it doesn't say anything else. And that guy that was dying, think about him. Here he is, I'm not going to make it home to my wife. I'm not going to make it home to my children, if he had a wife or children or a mother or father or whatever. I'm not going to make it home, and he's dead. And then he don't know nothing between death and going down into the pit or into the scapular or whatever it's called. And then all of a sudden, because he touched the bones of the servant Elijah, he was revived to life and he stood on his feet again. That's the power of our God. Think about the power, and we've got that in greater. Because somebody will come up with a scripture. It's greater is he than is you that he is in the world. Okay, that's God in Christ in us. Had our adversary known, he would not have crucified Jesus Christ, right? He'd rather let him walk around. And we're talking about a servant of Elijah who had the guts to ask for a double portion. Okay? And then that happens. And check that scripture out. I mean, it was a blessing to me. Maybe it was meant just for me, I don't know. But man, it was good. And then somebody was hitting on joy and happiness. I can tell you what joy is now. I mean, I got joy. I'm laughing, giggling, all kind of stuff, which before I didn't have it. I was monotone, that, you know, and, in the fire service, you see so many different things that you have to get that way. Otherwise you'd get too involved in everybody else's thing. Like, if you're going somewhere, it's just a job. In other words, you're just going to, it's called a job. There's a fire or a gas leak or whatever it might be, a car accident, it's just a job. But obviously that was years ago. But, and I'm doing something a little bit different, but I get caught up in some of those things sometimes. You know, car accidents, I try to help people. But anyway, it's just amazing how our Father has, he works in us, and in me, he worked in me to show me the power, of how much power he has, you know, with that Elijah section. And so that growth is always there. You're not growing, you're dying, you know. So I always try to grow, always trying to learn, asking to be humble and meek, you know, give me wisdom, give me guidance, you know, show me how to be the best I can be. Tender, loving, kind, because how much tenderness, how much kindness, how much love have I been shown? How much forgiveness have I been shown? It says I was an enemy of the cross of Christ. So I am supposed to be an imitator of my Heavenly Father. Now, it's difficult sometimes, but that's what I am practicing. Okay? I am practicing that. And I'm going to continue practicing that. And just gonna continue doing that, and Man, oh man, what an absolute exciting life. And I'm running into people. I was at Best Buy today. I ran into a guy. I had a Georgia Bulldog shirt. He's there with his wife. Wonderful couple. And he had an issue and got a chance to minister to him. I was in there, you know, way longer than I should have been. And I ended up getting something I needed for the office space where my brother's going to come down. But, you know, things are good. Things are moving. I'm having a blast. Miss Brenda over here, she's going to be sharing next. She's jumping in. So that's if you want her to go, Lawrence.
Yeah, man. Yeah, bro, of course. My brother.
Send her down. Take
send her
seat.
Down. Come on down. Yeah. Welcome, Brenda.
Yeah, it's like Red Rover, Red Rover. Oh, my goodness. What a day. I actually went to my best friend. It was her birthday today. And so we met her in a town called Palatka. And at a place on the river, it's called Corky Belt. So we had seafood, and it was really nice. Her sister-in-law had come into town from North Carolina, and she and one of her friends also joined us, along with my sister. So there was five of us. It was nice. It was nice to sit down and just chat with everybody and talk about what was going on. And you know, I think in this day and age, there's just, Van was talking about distractions. There are so many distractions. There, you know, we're pushed and pulled in so many different directions. But I think, just like Mary said, the one thing that we've got to remember is that, you know, God is in control. God is in control. He's been in control. He's never let go of anything. Van was talking about the prophet, and, you know, when he was dying, the other, I can't remember if it's Elijah or Elijah, I can't remember, you know, asked for double portion. And I thought, wow, what a thing to ask for. You know, you could ask for a lot of things, but this guy, he wanted a double portion. He wanted a double portion of the Spirit of God. So, you know, God moves in mysterious ways. Sometimes we see it, sometimes we don't. I do have a chance to stop and talk to people, and I always try to say something encouraging and, you know, be uplifting. Because you never know what anybody's going through. You never know what their story is. You know, the cashier or the person that, walks up and, you know, just starts talking to you out of the blue in the grocery store. So, you know, we're the light of the world, and oftentimes people are drawn to us because they see that light. They see something different in us, and we just have to, you know, speak up and tell them about the love of God. Tell them about the love of Jesus. Tell them about the sacrifice that Jesus made. I mean, the greatest sacrifice ever made. He laid down his life for us. So, you know, so we could have life and have it more abundantly. And so, you know, we have to grab onto that. We have to, every day, as Lawrence always says, you know, say what you want, not what you see. And a lot of times I go to bed at night, I will have Lawrence on speaking the I ams, because it is just so soothing to me to listen to all the I ams, all the encouragement before I go to sleep at night. And, you know, Van will be watching a baseball game or hockey or football or, you know, whatever happens to be on. Oh, look, it's hockey. Yeah. I want to see some hockey. You know, no, not really. So, you know, I can put my earbuds in and just turn on my phone, and I can listen to Lawrence and just listen to him before I go to bed, or listen to some teaching. You know, because Van just, he loves sports, every kind of sport there is. It's soccer. Look, honey, there's a soccer match going on, and I'm just, yeah. I love football. I do. But the other, I'm not so fond of, especially basketball, because it just sounds like all I hear is their shoes squeaking across the court. And it drives me crazy. I'm just like, oh my gosh, can you put that on mute? And so we don't have to listen to it. We can just watch it. But anyway, you know, it was a good day, you know, spending it with, Mary Lynn. She's, right now she's going, you know, she lost her husband and she lost her son. And, right now she's in the angry mode. You know, you go through these stages, and right now she's just angry. And, it's hard not to, you know, jump in and say something. And, you know, I just, you know, tell her I love her and I care about her. And, you know, I know that she's going to get through this. She might not think that she is. Now she seems to be a more independent, which is a good thing. When she says, well, I just don't need anybody. Well, that's not true. You know, no man is an island. We need companionship. We need, fellowship. We need to talk to other people. You know, I think that is a gift. It's just to be there and help her through this. But, you know, one thing I know that I like to do, I read a book of prayers at night, and, you know, I read them out loud, because I want to speak it out. One of my favorites was, as the rain comes down from heaven and waters the earth and makes it forth and bud. You know, that basically it ends up saying, you know, what you put out, you know, you receive back. It gives bread to the eater. And, you know, everything that you do, everything that you say, has an effect and sometimes a consequence to it. But, you know, I pray nightly for Jerusalem. I pray every night for Israel. And I pray for our country and our leaders. I know that there's a lot of stuff that's going on. Mary says she doesn't really watch the news because she waits for her husband to tell her. Because really, it's a downer, you know. I mean, who wants to listen to that bad news? But every time I watch anything, I'm just like, you know, God is in control. God is in control. Nobody surprised God. You know, he wasn't surprised by any actions that were going on or anybody's actions. I think it makes him sad when people do things that they really shouldn't. But, you know, God gave us free will for a reason. So, you know, we either choose to do the right thing or the wrong thing. And, but that is basically all I wanted to say, wanted to share. I'm sorry I missed out on most of it, but, I just seem to, well, her birthday just fell today. So I just wanted to spend the day with her. So she wasn't alone, since she lost her husband and her son. So, we were not able to get her a birthday cake, but I did buy her Dairy Queen. So we did a lot of walking in the downtown area. And, I said, hey, why don't we walk over? You know, we'll walk down to the Dairy Queen and I'll buy you, some ice cream. And she said, yeah, I think I'll have a hot fudge sundae. And I said, great. I'm going to have a banana split because they're awesome. So, you know, God gave us ice cream. There you go. But love you guys. I hope you all have a great evening. And we will continue listening and talk to you later.
Well, bless your beautiful heart, Brenda. That's great that you've done that. And great that you got on to share as well. Good to see you both. You're both looking really well. Healthy, wise, and strong. And I love you very much. And keep sharing wonderfully. That was a great sharing, both of you guys. And thank you for sharing. And next, I would like to ask Sakina. Sakina, my dear, are you free? God bless you.
God bless you, brother.
God bless you, honey.
God bless everyone. Wow, really, really awesome fellowship. Fire the Lord. We really have a hot fellowship. It's so good. And I'm so thankful. I can't say it enough how thankful I am to have this fellowship, to connect with fellow believers who are like-minded. I'm thankful for my minister and Lawrence and Kim Tor for just continued steadfastness and consistency and encouragement for us, children of God, to just be directed to Him, to be encouraged to look to God, to be encouraged to continue to be steadfast in our faith, in our believing, and encouraging us to do the things that God encourages us to do, the freedom in that, and the simplicity of that is what makes this fellowship so great, because, you know, this is not about tradition. This is not a club that we come and hang out and just to, you know, although that is wonderful and great and we love that, but, you know, we're encouraged to focus on the greater reality of our lives and our relationship with God and, you know, the purpose that we have here while we're here on this earth living this life that God has given us. That encouragement to focus on the spiritual things that's given to us by our ministers, the opportunity to come here and connect so that we can be encouraged in those things. There's no price in that. It's priceless. It's a gift. It's not taken for granted. And I'm just so thankful. Yeah, just focusing on those things, you know, the greater reality of who we are as His kids, as His children, the identity that we have in Christ and His accomplished works. So much was shared tonight. I'm just full from receiving from all the sharings that I did hear. And I'm just encouraged. I'm encouraged to continue. I think it was the last sharing, Brenda was sharing, where for me, where I live in Conway, South Carolina. And, this is my husband's hometown where was born and raised, multi-generational, going back maybe 100+ years. This is where his people are from. And I'm not from here. I'm from New York City. Long story on how we met, but this is where I wound up. And when I moved here, I was connecting with other believers up north. And when I moved here with a remote job. So as soon as I moved here in 2014, I was working from home. So, and then I had my kids, both my kids were still here. So I was pretty much busy, you know, with raising the kids and working from home and taking care of my mother-in-law. And so my world was pretty much, encapsulated in that. And so, sometimes now that my kids are out of the house, I decided to leave my job. So now it's just me and my husband. And, sometimes it can feel like there's nothing going on, right? You know, we pray for the laborers with our whole heart. Any and opportunity where I go out, which is, you know, a couple of times a week, whether it's just walking my dog or running to the grocery store, you know, there's not much going on in this town, on my end where I live, especially now it's low season because this is a tourist town. So any and opportunity that I have to go out, I'm always eager and willing and ready, you know, to do something for God or for God to open a door and to show me something or for him to bring someone to me. Right. And it just seems like it's again, seems like right now there's nothing going on. So it does get a little bit, I wouldn't say boring because I'm content, right? I'm content in the peace that I have and my relationship with God. You know, he never leaves us, never, ever, ever. And his presence is ever so palpable. And I'm content with that, but I'm also eager to see what the work that he's doing, because he is working. He's constantly, continually working in our lives, especially when he's put this vision in my heart for me. I'll speak about the laborer, about the multiplication, about the, you know, the millions of laborers. Like I think about this house that I have, it's so empty, and I envision my living room full of people just fellowshipping, coming ready and willing, you know, to hear from God through me, right? Because we are leaders and, you know, we are the point of contact, right? So I think about that. But right now, nothing's happening. However, there are things that I am doing, which is, you know, spending time with my husband, organizing my house, just the day-to-day things. Things are pretty much in order, you know, it's just peaceful. So God just put it in my heart, you know, to just enjoy this time. Enjoy, be still. You know, there are also things that he shows me that are a hindrance. You know, like we get a lot of encouragement about discipline from Becky and Lawrence, and those are great. It's great encouragement because I need that. My husband's a little more disciplined than me with certain things. And so I'm thankful for all the areas where God brings to our attention for us to just become that best version of ourselves in Christ, on all levels, right? Like that balanced teaching that we had about the spiritual, being overly spiritual, but not focusing on the day-to-day things. And that's, again, great encouragement, right? Helping us to zone in on those areas, or the things that we need to hear, you know, as we endeavor to do those good works. But ultimately, like Marie Carol was sharing, ultimately, it's those good works that I get excited about, you know, that I want to do for God, to be free and not have to work and just labor for God, whether it's traveling or even here where I am right now in Conway, just laboring for God, ministering to people, proclaiming God's, you know, just like Mary shared, speaking and living by the Spirit. I love that, right? and just being that example and just being that vessel so God can work through us as we manifest heaven on earth, right? Like Danny shared. Like that's all I want to do. I really don't want to do anything else. You know what I mean? Like it just supersedes anything. And that's my desire. Like that's what I focus on. But at the same time, we do have to live, you know, the day-to-day lives. Like I always use the Clark Kent Superman analogy. Like that Superman uniform is right under the clothes. We're always ready to just do as God calls us to do. But we're also doing the regular things, the day-to-day things, and doing them, of course, with our hearts unto God. So that's the balance that I'm living right now. And I do have an opportunity to work. And even, well, it's a proposed opportunity to work, but I don't want to work full time, like maybe 2 days just to get out of the house and go out and meet people and engage in, you know, in the community that I live in. You know, that may be where the laborer is, you know, definitely not trying to manufacture that, but living the life that I feel God has encouraged me to live and how to live it, you know, but always with the focus being ready to walk with God, inspired by God, led by God into the good works, no matter what we're doing, no matter what is before us. That's the greater reality that we as believers live in and that I endeavor to want to live holy, right? And so that's my heart. You know, I'm just continuing to meditate on the things God has for me. I have great expectation. In spite of what maybe I may see, and sometimes we do get a little, you know, knocked down a little bit in terms of if we look at things with our five senses, of course, we know. But we're encouraged here in this fellowship is to not look at what we see, right, but to say what we want. So making those declarations, those decrees, right, that I am open to every opportunity that God has laid before me. And I will walk into those opportunities and favor chases me down, is before me and chasing me down, just continuing to speak those words inspired by God and walking into that, right? The previewing what it is we want and then walking into what we've created with our words, right? Our words form our lives. So we continue to pray for the laborer. We continue to have expectation of gracious abounding financially, relationally, spiritually, that just grace continues to abound and abound. And we just receive. We do. We endeavor to do and walk with God and also receive, right? We don't have to earn anything that God has already set for us. He's already done it. We just receive it. We call it into manifestation and we receive and then we give. So the more that, you know, we like, for instance, we're honoring God with this, with our substance and the first fruit of our increase. We have that expectation. And sometimes I forget, like, seriously, like, wait a minute. No, that's the world's formula. I am not bound to the financial system of this world. I am connected to my Father's heavenly riches, right? And so again, how does that thought just, of course, it's God guiding the thoughts, but it's what we're encouraged to do. It's what we're kind of sort of practicing or training. Van mentioned it. Sometimes in the one-to-ones, there is a training going on where it's where we're being reminded of the things of God, the words, the rhema words from God through the minister resonates in our spirits, and then it's there. And when we need it, boom, it just comes right to the forefront to cast down those fiery darts, right? Those thoughts that come that don't belong to us. But that's why we connect. So that's the other thing. We just continue to connect. We continue to seek those things that are above. We continue to declare and decree what God says, not what the world says, not what we see. we declare and decree what God has said in any situation, you know, because he's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. That encompasses everything that I could ever possibly need spiritually or with it, or in this realm, the natural realm. Because it's God who's the source. He's the source of our provision. He's the source of our joy. He's the source of our redemption. We've been redeemed from the darkness and into his kingdom. All of this begins with our relationship with God. He's the source of everything. And so we just continue to look to him, to our Heavenly Father, who calls us beloved. He finds pleasure in our prosperity. He loves us so much. Like, we cannot fathom the love that God has for us. I said this to a believer once. They were like, I love the Lord, I love the Lord. Yes, we love him, but we cannot fathom, imagine the love that God has for us, right? He sacrificed his perfect walking son so that we could be redeemed back into the right position with him, seated at his right hand. We are his beloved. When you believe that with all of your heart, when you know that you know that you know that God loves you, you know, nothing can separate you from the love of God, but we have to believe it. You know, it's the believing, the faith that activates that power in us. That's already placed. It's already been placed in us. We already have it, but it needs to be activated. So it's the connecting. It's the speaking in tongues. It's the honoring God with our substance. It's the speaking by the Spirit. It's the fellowshipping with each other, one to another, edifying each other, that activates that power of God that lives within us. And all things will come from that, the direction, the signs, the miracles and wonders as we believe. It's in us. What's that scripture verse? I don't know where it is, but it talks about how, I think it was Peter, who his shadow just healed people, right? Correct me if I'm wrong, but it's the power in him. It's the power in us. Even Jesus Christ, with the story of the woman with the issue of blood, when I read the account, it's she reached out. The power, the virtue came out of Jesus. Then he turned around and said, "Who touched me?" That power is activated by faith, by believing. So we just continue to look to God and connect so that our faith is built up and strengthened, you know, where we believe the words that are being spoken to us and we receive them gladly as words unto God, from God unto us. And so these are the things that we practice, and I'm just thankful. And I just continue to just thank God for giving us that spirit of meekness as Jesus had, just keeping our hearts meek and humble before God, but yet being bold in our faith and our stance. So, and also to add about the gathering, Myrtle Beach gathering, for all those that are coming. I know I promised I was going to post something. I'm waiting on one thing I forgot to talk to Laura about. Once he confirms, and then there's another believer I need to talk to, the place for the European believers is already set, reserved, and then I'll give the address so that if anyone wants to be to rent something or get together with others that are here stateside to rent near the house that we've rented. It's a really nice house. It's 2 blocks from the beach. It has plenty of room for people to hang out. It has a pool, so it's great. It's going to be nice. But going to confirm something and then post it. But I'm excited about that too, you know, for us to be able to get together, fellowship in one accord. You know, this is God who's leading this, who's guiding this, and he's got a plan. You know, there's a purpose for this gathering within the greater reality of us being his children. It's a spiritual gathering, right? It's about him. He's going to show us mighty, mighty things, you know, and we just do it with a hunger, with a desire to really see that manifestation of his power, not just in our day-to-day lives, in our walks, but when we get together, right, that power just resonates and it attracts the hungry ones, and also praying for, you know, laborers popping up like popcorn until that day where there'll be new faces. We want new faces. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for the hungry ones that are ready to receive and for us to impart those words that you have for them through us, Father God. So that's my sharing. Love you guys. Have a great night. Great weekend. Enjoy each other.
Bless you, Sakina. That's awesome. Love you very much. Great sharing. I know God's working lots of things in your heart and doing lots of things. I know everything will come together for the South Carolina meeting. Bambi's listening in, but she can't talk. She's in a big meeting. But she tries to come and she's trying to listen in when she can. So she sent me a message. She sends a love to everyone. She loves you. We love you, Bambi. And, yeah, so bless her heart. So with that, I would like to ask Shelley next. Shelley. Oh, you muted again, darling.
There we go. Now can you hear me?
There we go, my little lover. You have a knee, you know, honey.
Oh, it's just so sweet and tender to hear everybody's voice. You guys are so awesome. I love our family. And what an opportunity is just to sit back and listen to how everybody is so blessed and moving forward. And that, you know, Brenda and Van, you guys are so cool. Life is such a special treat. And to get to go have ice cream with your sister and celebrate life together is just such a special treat. I am so humbly grateful to be here and be able to reflect back on the past year. It's hard to believe it's been a year since our travels together across the world and to Nepal and how fruitful our experience was there. We've just, Ted and I have grown so much in that amazing experience, seeing how these incredible people just walk out. You know, they're taught to walk, and that's what they do. And they get out there, and they witness. And like Ethel was saying, you know, I saw some things that I was like, oh, boy. You know, the casting out of the spirits and the healing of the blind lady. You remember that lady, Ethel? That we got up, and she was just sitting there, and we laid hands on her. And it was just a wonderful experience. And it continued. And that was something I wanted to talk about because I missed the leaders meeting last Sunday. I went down to spend the day with our beautiful, amazing daughter who truly is a witness to how God has taken such good care of her, but that she knows and recognizes that it is God. And with God before her, there's nothing she can't do. She's truly, truly an amazing adult. When people told her or told us that, you know, there's, what are you going to do with her? There's not much for her. And now we just see this incredible amount of healing and manifesting the incredible love she is. And that's, do you hear that noise from them?
Where you gone, Shell? You lost your voice. You're unmuted, but we've lost your voice. Have you got your Bluetooth on? Have you connected into somewhere else? Oh, that's it. We can hear something there.
To be here and listen to you guys and my entire family. Thank you so much. Really, really looking forward to their great blessings coming down. Life is good. And so, I won't keep you very long. And my release is
We love you very much, and thank you all for your sharing. You guys are the best, and we'll catch you guys later. I love you guys.
Love you, Shelley, and love to Ted, and love to Sarah as well, and also Hannah and Christopher, and you guys are awesome. We did lose your voice a little bit when you were sharing, but bless your heart, and thank you for coming on. We love you dearly, and you're in our prayers, obviously, and God is doing great things in you and with you and through you, so keep moving hot, baby. Keep it up, girl. And next, I would like to ask Judy Collins. Oh, Judy from Virginia there. God bless you, my love. You need to unmute your mic, my darling.
Okay. Hi, everybody.
Hiya, honey. There you go. Go for it.
So I went to the eye doctor on Monday, and my eyes are better than they were last year. So that's good. And just keep me in your prayers, because I still have the peripheral that I need back. So with that, I'm going to let you go. I've got somebody here repairing my heating and air conditioning unit. God bless you, and thank you for your prayers.
Great news. That's awesome. Yes. Praise God. We'll have a chat again about, we'll minister again when you get free next time.
I appreciate
time.
It. Thank
okay,
you.
My darling. Great. We love you very much.
Love you, too.
Okay, thank you. ML, would you like to share?
All right. Bless you.
God bless you, darling.
Thank you. My left hip replacement is scheduled for January 21st, so I'm real happy about that. And they're speaking again about remodeling the apartments, so maybe it's good that I didn't unpack. And everyone as well. Praise God for grandchildren and three children. And so I'm just really blessed and thankful to God. I found a fellowship up in Cheyenne, Wyoming, Cheryl and Charlie Height. And they're just lovely people. And then I go to fellowship with Tommy and Sharon in Loveland. And the car is running real well. I got the exhaust pipe repaired, so I'm not going to go falling asleep on the highway. And I grazed up against the speed limit sign and knocked my side view mirror off. Thank God that sign was there, because it was a pretty steep ditch, and if I'd rolled, it wouldn't have been too good. So the car is not too bad. It needs a fender and a door. But it runs so well, and I was so blessed to get it. God really does provide for us quite nicely. And I'm just very thankful to be alive, and that I'm going to get this hip taken care of finally, and that I am in good health. And so are all my loved ones. So bless you all. All glory to God.
That's beautiful, Emma. Really pleased for you, and things Amen. Progress to move on. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you for sharing it. That's really great. So, I'd just like to say, God bless everyone. It's been a great, great fellowship tonight. Really heart, wonderful sharing from the heart. And God really energizing people. And it's really wonderful to see that we're all growing in strength. We're all moving in the right direction. And God's leading all of it. And we're just very blessed and thankful that we can follow what God's showing us and just stay humble and just be blessed with what we're doing. And have fun, too. You know, God wants us to have fun, enjoy life, too. And we certainly are. I'm certainly looking forward to going to Nepal. And that's going really quick now. I can't believe we're already the 6th of November. Gosh. But, yeah, just keep doing what you're doing, guys. God's with you. He's leading. Don't have to rush ahead of yourself. Just be patient. I can totally identify with Sakina. Sometimes it feels like nothing's happening, but obviously it is, you know. And I'm busy every day, really. If you look at my books, I keep a record of what I do, and I'm busy all the time, really. And it's through the day and evening. So I'm thankful to God for this wonderful, constant fellowship I get. Whether it's on the phone or off the phone or replying or doing audios and listening to Sharon's and editing, it's really great. And don't forget, guys, like, we do this regular audio page. It's not just for Becky and me and Sanger. And everybody. It's for everyone. Like, if you've got an audio, something in your heart you want to send, just record it in your phone or whatever. Send over the audio. I'll stick it up because people will be interested and blessed to hear your voices. So please use it. You know, it's a platform as well. And plus also your sharings are going on the website. So you, lots of people know you. I get many messages, little messages and from different people I don't even know. And, we had a good message from a lady called, it was a lady that, Van, initially connected with and ministered to. And then he rung me and, kind of got me speaking with her. And she sent a message in, saying about her eyes, being healed. Did you get the message I sent you, Van? Mr. Patterson, I don't know if you're there. I'm sure I sent it through to you. She put this, through the website. Her name's Laverne Randolph. And she put, just wanted to update my fellow servants of Jesus Christ that I am healed by the faith in God's words and will receive medical confirmation Monday the 10th of November from Dr. Frank Bowden that the cataracts are no longer present in my eyes. I stand on Isaiah 53 verses 4 and 5. Physically, I am crying tears and have not had an annual laser treatment for dry eyes since a year ago, March, negating the diagnosis of some syndrome. I am seeing and reading fine print such as this text, blurry but without glasses, negating the diagnosis of cataracts or Behet's syndromes and any other blindness causing disease. My joints are soft tissue and are not inflamed or swollen. And then she writes a lot of other stuff that she's healed. And she said, I'm healed by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. Rejoice with me and keep me in your prayer. So that was really great. So God's doing stuff and bumping people into people, and that we can encourage and bless and minister. And we got to expect great open doors and expect God to bring the laborers before us and us before the laborers, and that we can minister with his power and start seeing some testimonies and things happening, you know, on a greater scale, because that's what God wants, you know. And so anyway, everything is good. I think we'll have some prayers, manifestations, and we'll close out. But it's been a wonderful night, and thank you all for sharing your beautiful hearts. You are absolutely amazing. Really blessed Ethel to see Richard again. That was great. Bless his heart. And so, Ethel, if you're there, would you like to pray?
Yes, I would. Yeah, thank you for acknowledging Richard. I mean, I know he's going through his transformation. I want to keep praying for him. He said he came from the mission volunteering, and then he said something nudged him to come. He just wanted to hear the testimonies, but ended up sharing. I'm super blessed the way God's freaking things out, right? So anyway, did you want me to pray or manifest?
You could do whatever you want. Do you want to? Yeah, just we'll have to go straight into the manifestations. You bring forth a word of prophecy or speak in tongues, interpret, whatever.
I will do that, my dear. Okay. Akashantwalari iriyon topakwa, nanantali iriyon toposhwa, Nananto Kurio Pokakwa, Larioto Shantobalad Ya. Be at peace, my children. Again, I say, be at peace, for I am the peace of God. Come to me with boldness, with confidence, every part of your being. Give it to me, for I'm a God who wants to see you successful. I'm a God who wants to see you blessed. Bless when you come in and bless when you come out. So come to me every moment of the day, and you will see signs, miracles, and wonders come to pass in your lives.
Amen. That's wonderful. And I would like to ask, Pam Patterson, would you like to speak in tongues and interpret? Are you there, fam? Mr. Van Patterson, are you there? Earth calling Van. Don't look like it. All right, Judy's got someone there. Sakina, would you like to speak in tongues and interpret, please? Oh, Judy's so, there. Judy, that's good. But carry on, Sakina.
Paranta hashana laike ndohochon osono hochono nzondo oloike ndahalaike ndohochon. Know, my children, that my love for you burns. My love for you is everlasting. Know that when you come to me with your whole heart, I will be there, meeting every single need. Trust me. Trust me with your whole heart. Know that when you walk out into the world, I am there with you, guiding, leading, and protecting you. So fear not. Stand strong on my word and believe my promises are yes and amen.
Amen. And Judy Collins, would you like to bring forth a word of prophecy if you're able to?
You are my wonderful children. I do care greatly for you. Be strong, knowing that I'm your God, your Father, that never will leave you. In dark times, my children, I am the light. Continue to look to me as I am light, and I am no darkness in me at all. This world has confusion, but I have light. Look to me, and you will not be discouraged, for I am 100%, 1,000%, 1,000,000% backing up every promise I have given.
Amen to that. And Mary, would you like to close us out of a word of prayer, please?
I sure would. Heavenly Father, thank you for those wonderful heavenly words, and thank you for the heavenly words we heard from you throughout this entire fellowship. God, I thank you that you're a God of peace. I thank you, Father, that you shed your peace abroad in our hearts, and that your love for us does burn, and that we can trust and rely upon you in everything that we do. And I thank you, Father, that you desire for us to be a great success, and you've made us that way. And God, we're just very grateful for all the wonderful things that you do for us, and we promise that we won't forget them. So thank you for a great night for everyone. Thank you for safety and rest for everyone on this fellowship, for great health, great peace, and great abundance. In the name of Jesus Christ, our living Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen. So, yeah, that's really what a great fellowship, and we can keep people.